Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Hi, welcome to another episode of The Nerd Off. That's right, on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I am your host, Rod. I'm joined, as always, well, not always, but I'm typically joined by the same crew of folks. Today, I have my man, who I like to call the honorary co-host, because I think he's been on the most shows, the most episodes of The Nerd Off of any other co-host. And it's my man Chris from the Insanity Check and MovieTrailerReviews.net.
What's up, people?
Oh, man, good, good. I'm glad you can make it. It's snow day. It's time to have some fun.
Right. I feel like it's not even snowing here. I'm like, yo, Rod said that they were having a snow day and he might do a Nerd Off. I was like, well, shit, nigga, I'm going to take a snow day too. Fuck.
It'll be snowing at some point.
Right, right, right. It's like that, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. I might as well go ahead and drink.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Also, I'm joined by the person that's probably been on the second most episodes of The Nerd Off compared to anybody else. And that is Neo Nerd Karen. What's up?
How y'all doing out there? Fuck the snow.
All right. So getting off to a nice start. And then we have my man who's been on a lot of episodes as well. New inductee to the religion of the one. The one.
One of us. One of us.
One of us. One of us.
The one true religion. Xbox One. What's going on, Kev?
Hey, thanks for having me, buddy.
Oh, no doubt, man. You also can find Kev's work on the MovieTrailerReviews.net. You still doing the TBD podcast?
Not right now. There's still like a lot of like stuff I'm trying to like clear up with like my own personal shit, and I'm also getting ready to move. That whole personal podcast where it's unfortunate. I just had to like put that to the sides.
Oh.
So. I'm trying to take care of some other stuff, and it's like, you know, those who really know me, they know everything that's happened to me over the past like year and a half. So it's like, you know, let him have his time.
No doubt, man. And I mean, I know Mr. Joseph 45 got to be kind of excited because a lot of Dr. Who shit happened since the last time y'all did a show. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, me and him still been talking. I think like once the series starts back with its like normal episodes, me and him are going to start doing weekly Doctor Who reviews for the site as well, just to keep up with the other TV reviews. Me and him are both into it. We can get some good talks on Doctor Who.
That's what's up, man. Well, this is the Nerd Off. Obviously, you guys know that at this point, but we start the show every week with the same shit, and that is what you've been playing, what you've been watching. I will start with you first. Karen, what have you been playing? What have you been watching?
I got that Fable, the new Fable Legends, because I started Fable with Fable 2 and kind of moved forward to that. I never played Fable 1 because it was on the original Xbox, and I never had the original Xbox. And every time I thought about getting it on the Xbox 360, Roger was like, hey, you know that was made on a different system. This shit probably gonna be whack. It ain't gonna be the same. And I thought, yeah, nigga, you right. So I just never got it. But now they actually kind of sharpened it and did a few upgrades to it and put it on. I thought it was going to be on Xbox One, but they was like, no, they was like the actual next Fable is going to be on the Xbox One. So, with this one, it's actually been a cool ride. I got like a glitch in it, and hopefully we fix it, but it has like a little glitch in it with like the A button. But with this one, it's kind of neat because while you're playing, you have like a map up in the corner, and it's like kind of small. And mm-hmm. So what they do is that you can actually use your smartphone app, that little app that they have, the smart glass. And so with the smart glass, you can have like the smart glass beside you, which actually moves in real time with your person on TV on the screen.
That's pretty awesome.
It's the neatest thing ever. So while they're moving, you can actually see your person's moving. You can expand the map, open the map. You can click on shit. It tells you how to open it. It tells you what's in your demon doors. It tells you, like, it doesn't spoil it for you, but it just kind of tells you
it's
certain
like
things.
It's like that helpful guide that you have. That way you don't have to always keep pressing, I guess, like the start button, open up the menu or something.
Yeah.
Like the takeaway for the gameplay or something. I think it's like that kind of integration I've always wanted, where I'm playing an RPG and I want to go into my menu to change something. I don't want to have to navigate like 50 or 60 menus. If I can do that from my smartphone or from my tablet, that seems like it would be a, that seems like it's pretty cool.
It is, and I think it's actually a smart use of the smart glass, because I can't speak for nobody else, but this is one of the first games that I've played that integrated the smart glass actually in with the gameplay, other than you using it as a controller or something like that for your Xbox. So to me, I thought it was a neat concept, and it's actually really, really, really helpful. And Roger knows me, I love Fable, and I'm a god person. Like I purposely buy the guide, because I was like, Fable is one of the few games that I understand how Roger be like, I play and I got like 100%. I'm kind of like that with Fable. I do all the stupid missions. I go open all the demon doors, find all the gold for my dog. Like I just do just ridiculous shit because I just enjoy playing and replaying over again. And I beat Fable 2 and Fable 3. And when Xbox Live had the gold, they was like, we're giving you Fable 2. I got it again because I think I ended up selling an actual hard disk. So now I got Fable 2 actually downloaded, which I think is the best shit ever. And with this game, you actually can download the shit, which I think is the best shit ever. I just went on Xbox Live and downloaded it. I didn't have to fuck with no disc. Fuck disc. So I'm really happy with that, and I've been playing that, and I've been having a really, really good time playing that.
Is it the 360 or is it the one?
It's this the Legends, which is like a remake of
the very first one
is on 360, but when they release the actual next series of the saga Fable, it's going to be on Xbox One, and I will buy that shit too, and hopefully you'll be able to download that.
Got you.
Anything you've been watching, Karen?
Let's see, what the hell have I been watching? Let's see. I know I've been watching the Dandy Show, which was at the
Space Dandy
with you.
Still great.
Oh, the best shit ever. Rick and Morty.
You know what? With Rick and Morty, what I realized, the more I rewatch it, the better it gets. And that is the mark of a great show. Sometimes I'll keep it on my DVR, or like a new episode won't come on. But don't get me started on that shit.
Oh, that's the only thing I have a problem with. That shit. It's like they gave you four shows and they're like, yep, not going to see you again for like another 4 weeks. It's like, you ask how you give somebody crack and then move to the city and stop selling it. Yo, what the fuck, yo?
Yeah, dude. They did everything but tell us that we need to suck their dick to get more shows, dude. But I've been rewatching them because I'm addicted to that show. And I got to say, man, like that show gets better even as I rewatch episodes. I just keep picking up jokes I missed.
Yeah, which makes that show a lot of fun. We rewatched the show the Christmas episode where dude's mom and dad was having like what you call it, a cuckazoid.
Cuckold,
I'm sorry.
Cuckazoid.
Lord.
Cuckazoid. All right, cool. Go ahead.
I tore that up, didn't I? My bad.
It actually would have been funny if he actually morphed into like a cuckazoid episode.
That would have been greatness. I just tore that to pieces, but it was actually excellent. And the black dude was like just wonderful because he was be all peaceful. He had answers to everything. He was solving problems. He was fixing that. He was fixing their worlds.
Yeah, it was awesome, man.
The greatest part about that though is when the black dude starts kissing on the mom and the dad pops into the closet.
He slides it, dude. He slid that line in there too, where he's like, he's like, so are you trying to tell me that Darnell is both of you guys' lover? He's like, no, nothing like that. He's just your mother's lover. And I watch from the closet in a Superman suit.
Yes, he ripped his shirt up and he had a big old S on while he slid in the closet. And I didn't catch that the first time. I was like, oh, shit.
Dude, so good, man. That joke and the Powers of the Pancreas running joke. Was just so good. He's like, he's like, Morty, you're gonna die anyway. So just do yourself the favor and stop by the exhibit. And these aren't those bullshit pirates like Pirates of the Caribbean. These are real pirates. They get pretty rapey, Morty.
That shit was great.
Rick and Morty is the fucking greatest thing ever, man. You guys should all be watching it. By the way, if you have any cable service that streams on demand stuff, Cartoon Network has an on-demand channel, and you can actually fast forward unlike other on-demand channels where they make you watch the entire episode from front to back with
everybody
no pauses.
Everybody makes you watch that shit, which is frustrates the fuck out of me.
Anything else, Karen?
I think for now that's it. I'm behind on some of my other shows, and now since we got a snow day, hey, a snow days for me, mm-hmm. I will be catching up on my other stuff that I normally watch.
Cool. You good? You still got to catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though.
Yeah, I'll be watching that, and I'll be watching, Intelligence, which I know I'm a few episodes behind in that. Mm-hmm. They restarted Almost Human, didn't they?
Yeah, Almost Human.
Yeah, because a lot of stuff had taken a break. And so I'm looking forward to catching up on those within the next few days over the weekend.
Kev, man, what you been playing? What you been watching?
Well, since I just got the Xbox One, shit, there are really no games for this shit that's not out on anything else. But for the most part, I'm still playing a lot of Grand Theft Auto. Me and Phenom, we're in the process of hopefully trying to do a buddy cop type thing with GTA. I need to get my recording shit, but we want to try to do some kind of buddy cop style, like either a podcast or a show using YouTube and recording that equipment. So I just got to get my shit in so we can eventually start that. Assassin's Creed, I'm loving the hell out of that. I don't know. This game has rekindled my love for the series. And half time, I don't feel like doing missions. I just want to be a pirate and just like rob other ships and shit. That shit is just so much goddamn fun taking the ships. It's incredible to me.
Yeah, man, that it really did. Like, it's funny because you rarely get that, but like, what is this now? 5 or 6 games in, and they have their best game. Like, I'm not even scared to say. Like, I think it's
playing
the best.
This one. This is how I felt when I first played like Assassin's Creed 2. I was like, man, like it just fills me with that kind of wonder for like this time period. Like, I just felt like they really encompassed, like, this time period and, like, the love of, like, this kind of setting. And that's what I felt they did with, like, the Renaissance era with Assassin's Creed 2. And it's like, the little things with the game. Like, I'll sit there. Like, I hardly ever fast travel. If I got to get to somewhere, I'll just sail. Just because I'll either want to try to, like, take some ships while I'm going there. But I like sitting there just listening to the sailors sing on a boat. And like, I don't know what it is. It's almost like a stress relief. It's just like calming. I'm like, man, this is actually kind of cool. And I have my surround sound on with it on too. And it, you know, it feels good.
I like them singing on the boat too. I used to love watching Roger play and like listening. And I'd be like, yo ho, blow the man down. And
exactly.
I would just be singing
I'm
in the background
the
with him and
thing.
Shit.
And it's so cool. I love exploring the Pacific and not the Pacific, but the Caribbean and shit. It's a great setting, and I recently started playing Freedom Cry for Black History Month. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really going to be able to beat this because I can't stop saving slaves. So.
Right. I couldn't either, man.
Like, every time I walk, I'm like, oh, there's an escaped slave. Stop him before he gets killed. I'm like, all right. Oh, they're trying to sell some people. All right, let me go kill these guys. And I can't help it. I can't help it.
Freedom Cry makes me understand how difficult it must be to be Superman. Because you're walking around with Clark Kent, right, and you're just trying to get some coffee. And you see some shit happening, you're like, hold on, I gotta go fix this real quick. That's how I feel like it's in Freedom Cry. You're just walking around like, okay, I'm gonna go to... Oh, wait, hold on. My services.
Exactly.
Let me get my machete real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as far as what I'm watching, I'm still watching the same stuff, and you know, I'm still really big into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Almost Human, I'm still watching it. The last few episodes I didn't think were the greatest, but I'm still keeping up with it. Mm-hmm. True Detective on HBO. Like, I'm a few episodes behind, but that shit is crazy as hell.
Everybody's saying that. I got to watch that.
Who is it? Woody Allen and whatchamacallit?
Woody Harrelson?
Woody Harrelson, yeah. Woody Harrelson and whatchamacallit are just, like, out of the world. I think I'm only on the second episode, but it's like, what the hell? This is awesome. It's been hard for me to watch it because they don't have an HBO Go app for the Xbox One, so I have to go back to my Xbox 360. And the biggest issue I've had with that, for some reason, I can't run my 360 while my Xbox One is on powered up completely. So I have to unplug the power from my Xbox One to play my 360. It's like maybe I don't know if like the Xbox Live on a One is overpowering the Xbox Live on a 360, but I can't stay connected if the Xbox One is connected.
That's weird because I've done it before myself.
Yeah, I do it all the time. That is weird. Do you have your Xbox 360 like, funneled through your Xbox One or something, or
Nah, they're not funneled through each other, but I mean, only other thing I can think of is like they're directly right next to each other, but I don't really see why that would be an issue. Yeah. Like, I can connect when they're both on, but after a while, it'll just automatically disconnect me from the 360. Hmm. But when I do unplug the Xbox One, I have no issues playing the 360 online whatsoever. Nice. So honestly, it might just be an issue with like me having the same profile, but I thought that was something they may have fixed. But like I said, it's not even that big of a deal to me. All I have to do is, I just have to end up getting up to unplug it, but whatever.
That's a new one for me, man. I haven't heard that one, but that might be something they want to look into, because a lot of people, you know, I think the smart move was not to get rid of your 360 and to keep both, because there's going to still be stuff coming out on the 360. So, you know,
I mean, the thing is, like, it all started when I also started using a brand new router in my apartment too. Like, I bought a brand new wireless router, and it was once I changed that over, that's when I started having those issues started happening and everything. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of different things that are probably contributing to this that's not Microsoft's fault, but you know, it's not something where I'm like, oh, it's stopping me from enjoying what I have.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I use my 360 for right now. So there's some apps that haven't transitioned over to the Xbox One yet. You know, they will be. They just haven't gotten there yet. And there's also games like, I'm really hoping that when Telltale Games moves forward, that they're going to start making some of these episodes and stuff for the One, so I don't have to switch over between the two. But if they don't have it there.
Because I've even contemplated buying, like, the Wolf Among Us, and I might actually just do it for The Walking Dead and putting it on my iPad and just playing that through my iPad instead.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah, that way I don't have to worry, you know, because they also have the season pass available on iTunes for it. So, it just seems logical.
Cool, man. All right, man. And Chris, man, what have you been watching? What have you been playing?
So watching the same thing everybody else is watching. You know, I watched The Walking Dead. I had to go off a little bit yesterday with people saying, I'm tired of people saying that the episodes are bad, because they forget things that happened to characters before, and then they say the characters suck. Like, I'm seeing a lot of pushback with people saying that they don't like Carl, and they didn't like Carl Jr. this last episode because of the way he was acting. And I had to go through a list of all the shit that Carl Jr.'s been through and been like, he is 14, and he has been an adult, and his father has been fucking losing it, and, you know, Randy puts him in adult situations and tells him he has to be a kid. So it's like, as a 14-year-old, you'd get upset at your parents for less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gets me upset, because it's like people watch these shows and then they act like they can't relate, and then you start bringing things up. It's like, but you used to get mad at your parents for less.
Ain't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. So how can you sit there and say that he's being bratty? I mean, last episode he was given the episode before the mid-season premiere, he was given a 15-second primer on how to shoot an assault rifle and was shooting zombies and people. And now you're like, well, why is he acting like he's grown? He just killed people. He put a bullet in his zombie mom's head, yo.
Like a boss.
Not to mention, I mean, these are the psychological effects of being raised in this world where you're surrounded by death and doom.
Right. They're acting like they're not going to take that into account or something.
Right, yeah. It's not like Carl can go out and play soccer and shit. You know, I was making jokes about it because it's funny. But, you know, but at the same time, it's realistic. It portrayed by this world that he would kind of be fucked up. Not to mention, you know, are we forgetting the beginning of this season? Rick was like, I'm putting my gun down. Mm-hmm. And Carl was the one who had to talk him out of being a bitch, basically.
Yep.
And like, Carl's been having issues with Rick since he picked up those people and brought them back to the fucking prison. Like,
yes.
It's been a while since Carl's been like, dude, what are you doing? He's just a kid, but he has kind of like a child's understanding of, you know, hey, this is a dangerous world. We can't trust anybody, father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen people going, well, you know, I don't understand. Well, you know, Carl's saying he doesn't need his father, but you know, without his father, he wouldn't be alive. I was like, same thing. Rick could say the same thing about Carl. Mm-hmm. Because remember, like you said, beginning of the same season, you know, Rick was not trying to be a leader, not trying to carry a gun. He was basically being weak. You know, I think even at one point, Carl told him about Carol teaching the little girls, and he was like, and Carl told him, was like, I think you should let her do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you got Carl Jr. over here making adult decisions, and then you're mad when he goes and tells his dad, who's limping around and moping around and stuff like that going, right. I don't want you, Dad.
Well, forgetting that Carl had to grow up pretty fucking quick.
Right.
So, pretty fucking quick.
And think if you think about it, the psychological aspects of, like, who can let go of the old world ways, mm-hmm. it would be adults that would have more problems being cold, I think, because it's harder to undo all the programming we've had in our lives to be like, well, you got to work together. You got to trust somebody. You can't do everything by yourself and all this shit. If I was a kid and I've only been experiencing these things for a few years and then you go, yeah, so we're starting over. The rules are different. It's like, oh yeah. Okay, cool.
Oh, and then last thing before I move on to, you know, other stuff, then people also forget the end of the episode before this one where Carl thinks his sister's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So he then, you know, he was like took that gun and was just shooting and kept emptying the gun into the zombie. The kid is fucking emotionally broken. It's like you can't ignore that and then go, it's a bad episode.
Like, and he said it.
Right.
Like he said it when Rick was passed out. And he dropped that, you know, like, you couldn't protect mom, you couldn't protect, our sis, you couldn't protect Judith, you couldn't protect any of us. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, this kid is now feeling that sense of loss. They lost their home basically last week to the governor, you know? So I thought the episode was excellent myself, man. I think they continue to hit it out the park, but so many people just microanalyze that show to where I don't think they can enjoy it, but they won't stop watching.
And here's the thing, I haven't really played anything else because, either watching or I've just been too tired. So it's mainly been also reading. Mm-hmm. So I'll go into what I'm reading instead. But this kind of...
Oh, wait, hold on. One more thing on Walking Dead. And I think Karen wanted to say something. But it's from the comic book, by the way. That's the closest episode we've gotten to straight out of a fucking comic book, by the way.
That was like almost shot for shot, like issue 50, dude.
So I don't even want to hear that shit from comic book readers.
It was
or...
like issue 50, and they had a separate one shot where they just focused on Michonne, mm-hmm. and they hit on both of those two issues, more so on issue 50. Like, it was literally like I was reading, cause I have that issue signed by Robert Kirkman, mm-hmm. and like, it was literally like I was like reading that issue or watching it on TV unfold. Like, that was, I thought that was really amazing.
And I'm gonna be real here, and cause it's kind of, I actually like the show's version of it better. It was more emotionally powerful to me than reading it.
Yeah, I agree. But that's cause sometimes they have to like skip through. Some shit just don't come across in a panel
exactly. The
way it does. Like, when you see Michonne holding her baby.
Yeah.
It's different. Like, that immediately made me think of when she held Judith and started crying.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh wow. Like, this is right. powerful now. You know, it's hard to reflect that in, you know, 15 pages of black and white comic book.
And you also got to give it up to the actor that played Carl, too, because, like, I mean, yo, he's a child actor, but, no, he nailed that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he nailed it.
Karen, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say this one thing, back to what Chris was saying. It's one thing, because I live tweet, and I love live tweeting the show, and I have myself a good time, and I think because, like, I post memes, I crack jokes, so some people follow me based off of my retweets and stuff like that, and so I'm over there enjoying the show, and they be like, well, I ain't like it. I'm gonna stop just fucking blocking people. I don't give a fuck if you don't like the show. I'm having a good time. I didn't go into your timeline. Don't come over here in my timeline and talk about you don't like the show. That's one thing that really annoys me, especially if I didn't ask for it.
Funny thing to me is the people who are watching the show going, they didn't like this episode because, well, it focused on, I saw somebody go, it focused on the two characters nobody likes. I was like, so you're talking about Rick and Carl? You do realize this entire show is going to be about Rick and Carl. It's going to come back to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do realize that. So you're going to continue watching a show where you don't like two of the main fucking characters, right?
Yeah. Also, shout out to that kid because, you know, I think sometimes people expect too much of child actors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But we watched that kid. It seems like every time the show takes a break and comes back, he's 7 years older or some shit. Like, I don't know how he's playing all. It's only been a couple years that the show's been on the air, but it feels like he's so much older.
About how they were doing the timeline with it by like saying it's been like months later every time they come back from like a new season.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing it really slick to also, I guess, encompass his own natural growth.
Right. Yeah. But he looks older. He plays older. And he's a fucking real kid. Like, this isn't like when you go get a 19-year-old to play a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And then you see the acting range. Like, there's some things that I just think as a kid, it's more, it's kind of like the Jaden Smith thing. I know people don't, they say they don't like Jaden Smith, but I feel like that's a kid acting. So
actually,
that's why it's better to me.
Another good example of it, what you can also say, like how the Harry Potter movies played out with the same child actors going through seven movies. Like you actually do get to see them progress as actors, as where you get to see him progress as an actor as the show goes on, just like you saw each of those kids progress as actors as each of those eight movies progressed.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I just want to give a shout out to that, but I'm sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And then, so I haven't been playing anything else or watching anything else. The one thing I have been doing is reading some of these comic books. Nigga, this Superior Spider-Man is some fucking awesome shit, y'all.
Oh, bruh.
Nigga. Nigga, I read the first issue, and this nigga, Otto, is fighting the new, he, first of all, he's talking shit. He's like, man, they let anybody call themselves the Sinister Six. He starts losing. He like gets hit or something like that. This nigga goes, fuck this, I'm out. He's like, I don't see how Peter Parker dealt with this bullshit. Yo, he left the battle, dog.
And what?
Peter's consciousness is going, dude, you can't do that. What the fuck are you doing? You gotta get back.
Kev, you have to read the Superior Spider-Man, dude. If that book is one of the ones where it's like, you not only will you be laughing, but there's so many times where Doc Ock does some shit as Peter where you're just like, that is so much smarter and better than Peter was ever capable of doing. Doc Ock is a better Spider-Man.
Dude, cause he like fixes Peter's relationship with like J. Jonah. He finishes it with the cops. He's on his way to like stop a villain. He calls the cops for backup. And Peter goes, you're calling the cops? That's actually pretty smart.
Dude, he told, that one part,
issues are out so far.
I want to say it's up to 27
or something like that. I'm on like 9 or 10 right now.
Dude, there's a part where, I'm not spoiling anything major, but J. Jonah tries to like flex on him. On some like, nah, man, we about to change this. And he just blackmails him and is like, yeah, fuck you. Like, he is so good at being Peter Parker. He's better at being Peter Parker than Peter Parker was. And every time they have a huge one of those moments where you're like, oh shit, he's never going to be able to fix his relationship with Aunt May because he's an asshole. He's not really Peter. He'll find a way. And you're just like, I can't believe this shit.
Well, there was one time where he didn't go to the, cause I'm still at the part where he still has Peter's conscience there.
Yeah.
So that's also funny too, because he'll be doing shit and Peter's conscience will be there saying, like giving commentary. So there's one time, it was like, he got like over the, spider waves. He got like a call for like a fire. And Otto was like, nope, gotta do something else. Just redirected to the fire department. Peter goes, no, you're Spider-Man. You have responsibilities. Next panel, they show Otto there with Aunt May, and Peter goes, oh, yeah, Aunt May's physical therapy appointment.
Hey.
What?
Yes, man. Yes.
Like, he does a better job. At one point, he's like, wait a minute, I'm a doctor. He's like, no, you're not. They're like, no, you're not. You never got your degree. He's like, oh, fuck that. I got to fix that shit.
Yeah, he got his degree. Dude.
Degree.
This nigga went back to school as Peter Parker.
And got him a doctorate?
Got his motherfucking PhD, dog.
Wow.
All right, after we get off this podcast, I'm going to check out Comixology and see what's up with that there.
You got to get it. Yo, dude, JJ gets... Then they made a joke about Batman. So JJ puts a spider signal on top of, like, the Daily... I can't remember where he put it at the top of the Daily Bugle. But he puts it at the top right, and Spider-Man shows it's like... Well, obviously this is a test, because you're not stupid enough to put a signal where all of my villains can know where to get me at. Jada goes, like, yeah, you're right. This was a test.
Yeah, oh, man.
That shit was so good.
He's so good, dude. Superior Spider-Man is so good. Wait, I can't wait, and I'm sure you'll be back on the show in Avis, but well, let me know when you get to the issue where he meets Felicia Hardy. Black Cat for the first time again. Just let me know.
All right,
yeah, that shit only lasts like two panels, but you're gonna be like, God damn.
Can't wait. this shit has been, this has been fucking hilarious to me. Like, I don't see how people can complain. Like, I'm actually to the point now, only 9 issues in, where I'm like, I know they're gonna bring back Peter Parker, but I'm like, well, I hope they kind of make a spinoff and they keep Superior Spider-Man going some kind of way, cause he's actually, like, he's just doing a better job at fighting crime and being...
The worst part to me is, like, in true Marvel fashion, they start trying to do too much, cause Superior Spider-Man is great. They have Superior Spider-Man team up, which is actually really, really good as well. But then I started reading this book and it was like Superior Carnage or some shit.
Yeah, I've seen some of that.
And there's a new Venom and like that's Flash Thompson and shit. Like, I don't like those books and it felt like they were trying to do too much, but, Superior Spider-Man and Superior Spider-Man team up are legit.
Yeah, they're fucking hilarious. So been doing that. And then I also went and, because Justice League War came out, so I did see that. And it made me like, well, let me go and read some of these new 52. So I went and read the first 13 issues of Justice League, from the new 52. And again, I can't see why people complaining, because that shit was fucking good. The issue that really sold me, like, all the issues up to the Justice League War issues, like the first 6 ones, those are fine. The issue that really sold me, though, was the Green Arrow issue, where these motherfuckers, Green Arrow is trying to join the Justice League. So for like the entire book, you see the Justice League trying to fight. You see they're at the end of these big battles, and Green Arrow just shows up, and he's like, "Yeah, guys, I helped you guys out. So you guys want, you know, kind of join the team?" And they're like, "Who the fuck are you? No, you can't join." Like, this shit is so fucking like they beat Amazo, and he's like, "Yeah, man, Justice League and Green Arrow took down Amazo." They're like, "You helped?" He's like, "Yeah, see, that's my arrow right there in his leg." They're like, "Yeah." Okay, man. Okay. All right. He sneaks on a plane and it helps him do something.
Yeah.
And they drop him off in the middle of nowhere. He's like, "You're not even gonna drop me off at a bus stop?" Yeah. He then goes to Trevor and is so fucking pissed that they won't give him any kind of.
Dude, when they find out he don't have powers, and they hit Batman with like, "Oh, well, if Batman breaks his ankle, maybe you can take his spot."
Right, and then Hal goes, "Don't worry, Batman. We're not going to replace him with you." Like, yeah. Hal Jordan be clowning the fuck out of Batman for not having powers, dog. Like, he just doesn't give a fuck, yo. This shit is, man, I've been loving it, yo. So I got the 13 episodes of, issues of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to keep reading that. I'm going to try to get some of the other ones. But, man, I'm loving it, man. That shit, it's just a new take. And like I said, Hal Jordan is the biggest, like, what, reading this now, I now changed my opinion that I think Ryan Reynolds was actually really good for Hal Jordan. The movie was bad, but he was perfect for this new 52 Hal Jordan, because Hal Jordan got nothing but jokes. Like, he's just cracking, like, one-liners and jokes and stays, like, being an asshole. There's one issue where they were supposed to be doing something as a team, and Hal Jordan turns to Batman, because Batman's trying to give it, like, Wonder Woman and Superman, you guys are, you know, our power hitters. You guys go over here. And Hal Jordan looks at Barry and goes, "Hey, listen, don't worry, Batman. We got this. We're the Justice League." Then him and Flash take off and Rob Redford said that shit, dog. That shit is too good, man. I've been loving it.
Hey, Kev, have you seen Justice League War yet?
Yes, I have, sir.
Okay, yeah, hey, man, it really does come straight out of that new 52 Justice League, man. So I don't know if you read it, but it's good reading.
I haven't read most of the new 52 Justice League. I started reading some of the Green Lanterns, because it was like right after the whole Blackest Night thing, and I was still like on my Green Lantern high, and then the movie just kind of fucked all that. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no doubt, man. But yeah, that Justice League War is great.
It is.
And the other thing I fuck with for New 52, man, a lot of the Batman stories are actually pretty compelling, man. Like, and I'm talking about down to like Nightwing, Batgirl, Batwoman. Like, those, they're actually pretty good, man. I try to keep up with. I think the Catwoman was a little bit played out. But DC's never really known what to do with Catwoman. Like, she's one of those people that probably doesn't deserve her own book.
Right.
True. But they keep giving her one, and then she always has to fight the leftover people from the other books and shit. Like, what? Who is this dude? And why should I care? But yeah, that new 52 is that fire, man. They have a part where the Joker comes back, man.
I started seeing some of that stuff. That's the one where he doesn't have his
face. Yes, he doesn't have his face on his face anymore.
I want to read that one, yo. Yeah.
Dude, that shit was sick and twisted. So that I fucks with that, but you know, but yeah, I like the relaunch, man. I know some people don't like it, but I just think they don't like change, yeah. And that's what they're really fighting against now.
You're absolutely right. That's got to be what it is. Because to me, it's like there's no legit reason why you can't give, like, especially the Superior Spider-Man one. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm reading this stuff and I'm like, it's obvious to me that Peter's gonna come back, mm-hmm. but you can't tell me that this stuff isn't done smart. Like it sounds. I told somebody on my Facebook, they were like, I never checked it out because it sounds like a stupid concept. I'm like, you're absolutely right. It does sound stupid. It sounds. If I tell you Doctor takes over as Peter Parker and is going around as Peter Parker, you're gonna be like, that's fucking stupid. But when you read it, like, there's the issue where he where were the two the pranksters that he beats the fuck out of?
Oh man, yeah, God. It becomes a thing. Like, people still bring it up. It's like 20 episodes ago and people are still like, yeah, you're a little more like, nigga, the Punisher tried to shoot him.
Right.
And he was like, I was just trying to shoot you to get, your attention. And, Daredevil's there. He was like, yeah, I told him to shoot at you because your spider sense would make it not hit you. And then he's like, yeah, you're just shooting blank rubber bullets or something. He was like, nah, that was real bullets. And the Punisher's like, yeah, you changed. You know, you've been more brutal lately. So, you know, I was like, what? They don't give a fuck.
I think that was when he beat some other two. I think that was the issue when the Avengers going, all right, yeah, we got it.
They suspended him, dog. This nigga got clawed, man. Listen, man. God damn it. I just don't want to spoil it. Just fuck it, man. Just when you get caught up, there's a moment with the Avengers where he does something where you're like, why the fuck doesn't anybody ever do that? Like, just fuck them. Like, why do you care what the Avengers think? It's so, oh my God. All right, man. I don't spoil anything else. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up, man, before I do mine?
Man, that's it, yo.
All right. Mine, pretty simple. Watching all the same shit. I'm behind on Black Sails. I really do want to get caught up because, like I said, there's a lot of titties in that. And I know Kev knows what's up because he's watching that True Detective and, them True Detective titties was trill.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. She pulled them titties out in episode 2. He's like, is this still HBO? did I accidentally put it on? Like, I think he's about to eat her ass. Like, I think,
HBO, like, takes it there with, like, their series. Like, I thought they were going some shit with, Game of Thrones, but, like, god damn.
Yeah, dog. That came out of nowhere. That was one of those moments where you're like, the fuck show am I watching again? Okay. All right. We're doing this. But, the only thing I watched that I don't think everybody else watched is Stan Lee's Mighty 7, which is a straight-to-TV Marvel movie that came on The Hub, Disney's The Hub or whatever. Yeah, this is why DC is better than y'all animated films. This shit sucks. It is really pathetic, dude. And not on some, well, it's just made for kids. Nah, it's really bad. This nigga Stan Lee wrote himself into his own comic book.
Wow.
Yeah. He's a struggling cartoon like comic book writer. He comes up with ideas, and the first scene is him talking to some big executive, and the executive is like, yeah, dog, y'all, you know, this is the worst. Your idea is terrible. So then he gets in his car and he's kind of come up with a new idea, and a fucking spaceship crashes right in front of him, and it's full of superpower aliens, and they all go home with him, and
mess with this.
He's like animated Alf, yo.
Right, and in true Stan Lee fashion, which, you know, I've heard a lot of rumors, he steals their idea by just saying that he came up with them. Like, I don't know why he wrote that down, because he's gonna be catching hell in comic book circles forever for this, but yeah, he steals them as an idea and pitches them to the studio executives, saying that he came up with them and all he did was come up with the names.
That's something I would want to do late in my life when I become famous for being a comic book story writer and all this other shit.
Yeah.
Is Stanley actually writing the show?
Apparently, man. It's one movie. I don't know if they plan to do more. I don't see it with these, you know what I mean? Like, some characters you have that iconic, like, yo, this is gonna be good. I don't see it with this. Like, I just don't see the appeal. I don't think kids are gonna take the time to learn who these characters are. I don't see a movie coming out of it. Yeah, he's in it literally talking to the characters. Like, it's bad.
Stan's the man and everything like that. You know, if I can get him to autograph some of my comic books, I would. But this is why when some fans who were shitting on Asian shit were like, well, see, even Stan Lee thinks. I was like, listen, Stan Lee's old as fuck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't give a shit what Stan Lee thinks about anything coming out now.
Right.
That motherfucker's old, yo.
Yeah, tell you what, first person to watch Mighty Seven and like it, that person can tell me Stan Lee's great, because I guarantee you can't make it through that whole. I had to stop like 30 minutes in and be like, I have to catch up to this later, because it was so bad, man. And the animation is terrible, man. It's DC is just doing this shit so much better than Marvel, man. It's really a damn shame, to be quite honest, man, because Marvel has some really good characters and some good stories and graphic novels, and we're never going to really get to see them treated the way that they should on film, because they keep half-assing it, man.
You know what I'm wondering? Because, you know, every time DC does a film, we always wonder, well, why can't Marvel do this? I'm wondering if it's because Marvel might not actually have the TV rights or the cartoon rights.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so Marvel Studio does their movies, but I don't think Marvel Studios might not have those rights to do the cartoons, or might not even be doing the cartoons. So that might be why there's no, it's not cohesive like their movies are.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think their first big animated film is going to be that Big Hero 6 movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think they have it. So that might be why.
That might also be why they keep kind of come up with new properties.
Right.
True.
Like the Mighty 7, Big Hero 6, instead of being like, why don't we just make a good X-Men? Like, how many, like, I would love just a Dark Phoenix Saga movie.
Right.
True.
Like, DC would have done that by now, and it would have been high quality.
Dude, do you know how many, like, DC...
Taking a lot of these short stories and just turning them into, an hour long or an hour and a half long, like, animated movie. You're right, dude, yeah.
Days of Future Past. It's coming. You got a live-action movie coming out soon.
Right.
Animated film.
They would have been done that.
It's I don't know, man. It's the weirdest shit ever, because DC is so successful with theirs. And DC, Fox, Sony, all of them saw how successful Marvel was with live-action films. They tried to copy that. It's amazing to me that Marvel doesn't see how successful DC is with these animated films and tries to copy that either.
Just like one studio. Like, right. The closest they got was they had I want to say it was either World War Hulk, or they had one of the Hulk movies that was...
Planet Hulk
was really good.
I have that one. And they actually did a decent conversion of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they did a good job.
I was really hoping after they did this, maybe they would possibly do World War Hulk, because I have that comic book line. It was actually a decent Hulk story.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, they just won't really capitalize on it like the way DC will.
Yeah, I don't know why, man, but yeah, that was, that after that one, I was like, cool. And then like the next couple that came out were really bad, and I was like, well, I guess back to the drawing board. But even if just one studio took the DC route, you know, like, okay, we only have the rights to the X-Men. Why don't we just do a kick-ass X-Men movie then?
No, you're right. It's amazing to me that we can't get that. Like, DC is dropping all these seriously good ones, and Marvel has all these characters. I mean, they have, like, you have Spider-Man. I mean, you can even do the lesser known ones. I know they're doing one, I think it's, like, they'll do things like, there's one coming out is Black Widow and the Punisher.
Right.
Like, why? Mm-hmm. You have storylines that are short enough to do this. Like, to me, Days of Future Past makes better sense as, like, I even think that Marvel's short stories, storylines, make better sense than DC's do. Like, DC mm-hmm. did the entire Flashpoint in an 80-minute TV show, 80-minute movie, which is hard to do.
Right.
Like, Days of Future Past is two issues.
Right.
That's made for an 80 minute movie, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't understand.
Right? Yep. The Joss Whedon run.
Right.
I mean, they basically did motion.
I really liked when they did the motion comic of that.
Right.
Too.
Right. They did a motion comic. Just go back, just do it, do the same thing, but just, you know, make it full blown animation, and I think people will like it, man.
I would.
They did the crazy Ultimates, the two Ultimates cartoons. It's just like,
yeah. You know, those were a little bit like PG-13-ish compared to what they did in the comics, but they were still decent animated movies. And I was like, you know what, this is not a bad start for them.
Yeah, it's just really disconnected, because I liked especially the first two Ultimates. Then they did this like kid Ultimates type movie, and that one wasn't that good. But
right,
they'll start something and like, fuck yes, finally I can watch.
I will say I did like that kid, the kid Ultimates movie.
Okay, I don't think it was as good as the first two. I just enjoyed it.
It was better than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, Next Avengers, I think is what it was called. And yeah, I'm not even shitting on it. It was still better than most of the shit they put out after that. It's just that weird, like, quality drop, like, where they do, like, okay, here's three good cartoons. The next two are Iron Man and Wolverine in Japan. You're like, well, these are shitty and not done well.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Right.
Their best fucking cartoon.
Yeah.
Barely got a second season. They don't have it on Blu-ray. Then they cancel it and replace it with some other bullshit. And then, like you said, you got the animes. Like, why are you doing this? Like,
yeah.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that shit was so fucking good.
Agents of Hulk is the new shit.
Yeah.
They have a Superior Spider-Man. Oh, no. Is it Superior? Ultimate Spider-Man that was out for a while. It might still be coming out new, but it just kind of like fell off, man. Like the best, I kept watching it just out of habit. And then I thought the best episode they had was, the one with Deadpool. And that's the only one that made sense. Like, cause Deadpool's crazy. But anyway.
Yeah.
Last thing I was reading is I started reading the actual Avengers Initiative. Where after they have the New Mutants, whatever that group was that blew up Stanford, and killed all those people and shit. So they had the Civil War. After the Civil War, Tony Stark becomes a head of SHIELD and organizes the Initiative, where it's a 50-state program.
Oh,
where,
you're just now reading those, right?
Yeah, I'm just now reading those, man. Like, I got.
Oh man, you gotta let me know what you think, dude. I was reading. Like, I'm gonna have to go back through my boxes, but I was collecting all those single issues when they were coming out. Like, I have all the Civil War shit. Like, I was pretty much collecting everything up until, I think when they did Siege with the Dark Avengers and everything else. Like, everything from that time period on past Secret Invasion, everything. I have those single issues.
Yeah, I started book one of Dark Avengers, but I was like, let me go back. Cause like they started referencing the Initiative. I was like, what the fuck is that?
It goes all the way back to Civil War, man. It like that was when I was really deep into Marvel comics. Yeah, dude, if you ever want to talk about that, yeah, you gotta let me know, man. I still have all these books here.
Yeah, I did read Civil War and I read The Death of Captain America. Right after The Death of Captain America, they were like, all right, 50 state program. They go get all these like people. And like, the thing is, they go get like a bunch of
superhero team for every single state.
Right. Wow. And they follow kind of like these no name up and coming young heroes. The bad part is like, okay, I don't necessarily know them all. Good part is they can kill anybody because you don't know them.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
it was a cool ass concept when they did it. Cause like they would have like all these different teams, and then they might have like one known hero on that team. Then a lot of people's like, who the fuck is this dude with powers?
Right, and they'll bring in like people that are kind of the B level dudes on other teams, but then they'll be like the drill instructor at the Initiative. So like, you know, you get to see like Taskmaster or like Ant-Man came in one time.
I love when they actually start focusing on some of the villains because they. I think the Thunderbolts run during that time period was really good too.
Yep.
So, and like you just got to see like a whole new dynamic, and it was just like, man, like you actually like the actual books where you actually see the cadets going through their superhero training and shit. Yeah. Some great storylines, dude.
Yeah, man, it's pretty cool, man. So I actually enjoy it, man. I just kind of like the whole like learning to be a superhero and also the idea of like registering as a hero and like how they treat secret identities. Like people, like they know your shit. They'll be like, listen, Adam Jones, come with us. And then like, if you're around another person, you're like, well, let me just take out my mask. They're like, no secret identities. You don't talk to each other. We know your shit. Y'all don't ever get to know each other.
I love those issues, man. That was when I was really into it. And I thought that storyline was just so unique.
Yeah, so no weird. Doubt. And somebody told me it was the New Warriors. Yeah, the New Warriors brew up Stanford, Connecticut or
some
shit.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That story by itself was already crazy. That started Civil War. But, all right, man.
Yeah.
We got a ton of articles and shit that came out. So, hopefully people enjoyed us talking about that shit and we can talk about this shit. Xbox Live, has some store deals, for people, for the 360, NBA 2K14 is on sale and, Fable 2 is on sale. Fable 2 is half off. So is the DLC. Fable Tale 2, Not Whole Island, and See the Future. Karen, have you played both of those?
Yes, I have. Well, y'all talk about the DLC, about mm-hmm. Grand Theft Auto. That's how I am about the DLC with Fable. So
I only played the first one of it. I played the Not Whole Island one. I didn't do the other one.
Yeah, it's like, I have that love y'all do for those games. So I can understand. When Roger was like, DLC, I was like, nigga, hand out the card. They got more DLC. I want that and that island and that over there and some of that too. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's on sale. Xbox One is, getting an update, and I think the update is out today for a lot of people, or I know it was supposed to be out yesterday and it got pushed back to later in the week. So sometime soon, you'll get part one of a 2-part update.
I haven't seen anything yet on my Xbox One.
Okay.
So unless it did it when I wasn't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it says you'll have to manually get it. At least part one. You have to say, gotcha. I accept.
What is it going to do?
The first part of this update, let's see. What did I do with this? Sorry. I had this thing here. Let's see. Xbox One February upgrades seem nice, but Marches are better. Early March system update will bring some popular multiplayer features, blah, blah, blah. So I guess everybody keeps telling me what the March update is going to do. February update was something like, I think it adds surround sound for your headset. And something else like analog controls are a little less twitchy. And then March is going to help you get your friends list faster. Party chat will be turned on by default. Chat with friends playing different games. Invite friends to game option on your multiplayer titles moving forward. And they're adding that recent players thing where, hey, I just played with this guy. So,
okay.
Yeah, those are the updates, I guess, in the March one.
Sterling's got it. He's like battery indicator, storage management, USB key. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Storage management, battery. Yeah. Your battery on your controller indicator. I think the headsets or something like that. Like, they're gonna debut stereo headsets in March, for the Xbox One, as well. They said,
The Turtle Beach is dropping March.
Mm-hmm. And they said the headsets run like $80, and then the adapter for, I guess, older headsets are like $25. Hmm. I have an older headset anyway, so I might hook that up.
I'm considering buying one because I'm gonna have a roommate come in April. And I'm considering buying like a Turtle Beach, but I've never had one before. So
I'll tell you this much. It's one, it is worth it. Mm-hmm. Two, if you can afford it, go wireless.
Yeah, go completely wireless. Like Roger, I got where mine is hooked, but Roger's is like completely wireless, and that shit is the best thing ever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I can definitely afford it. It's just, do I want to spend I'm cheap, so.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I bought like 3 headsets before I got to my wireless one. Karen breaking my other one was the straw for me being like, why the fuck didn't I just get the wireless one? And I could have put it up over there.
And it with no purpose. Like, he would have it in a chair that I sit my ass in, and I wouldn't pay no attention. Yeah. And this thing I know, I done sit on it and cracked them.
If I would have had a wireless one, I wouldn't have had it over there. I would have had it somewhere else, saver.
I'm like the little kid. I wasn't paying attention.
But, anyway, this way you won't have to kill your roommate, Kev.
Or your wife.
Yeah, just think about it. all right, this is one of those salacious articles where I feel like they're trying to blame video games for something that is not video games' fault. A 13-year-old in United Kingdom admitted to raping his 8-year-old sister, telling police he had been watching porn on his Xbox 360 when he decided to try it out.
No, that's not really funny, but the fact that
your reaction was.
I was laughing at the fact they actually tried to use him watching the. They actually had to emphasize him watching porn on his 360.
Yeah, yeah. And they're trying to turn it into, like, it's a controversy over whether how to access online pornography should be controlled. I think the UK, we covered on this show before, 2014 was supposed to start their opt-in, opt-out for your household on porn.
Mm-hmm. So some adult allows it to stream into their household.
And they never fucking get to that. It's never the adult's fault. You can have a kid. Your kid does any fucking thing, and it's always something else's fault. It's porn. It's the video games. It's movies. It's never just... where the fuck was your parent?
Hey, baby, and even with the Xbox 360... whenever we was trying to hook up the Xbox One, my shit was had a child sensor shit on it. I tried to go on some shit. It was like, you don't got permission. Nigga, what you mean I ain't got permission?
The default when you register a new person on your Xbox One is it goes to child until you allow them to have more settings.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So that people can't, you know, so that kids can't be like, all right, I'm gonna sign in now to look at these titties, you know?
Okay, so somebody lifted all those features off of their Xbox.
There's parental controls on all this shit.
Yes, it is.
It's parental controls in everything. And I feel like if your kid's getting into this kind of stuff, like, you're at fault here. You're really at fault here for being a bad parent. Stop letting computers raise your kids.
Right.
I think we're all missing the key point here, and the key question here is, what was he using to watch porn? Was he using a special app, or was he just streaming it?
There's no app.
The web apps for the 360 to watch porn.
Right. There's no app, but you can go to like Pornhub with it.
I was over getting excited because the way they were making it seem like was that he had like a special like, you know, Xbox 360 app, like, you know, a Pornhub, you know, app or something. Nigga.
Yeah, you can access like Pornhub and I think a couple other websites from the 360.
Yeah, but you could also, I don't know, put a DVD in.
Right, duh. I was like, you know, we can do the same thing on a laptop. It's not the 360's fault. I thought they were being like, there was actually like, you know, like, can you imagine if they made like a porn app, like the UFC app?
Mm-hmm.
The 360, that should be awesome. Like, you could take bets on your favorite porn star, you know.
Mm-hmm. That would be good.
Hey,
Chris said, join in,
you know.
I'm sure Pornhub would love to create a Pornhub app.
Oh, yeah, it'd be like over under three dicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, man, the boy said that he named the device specifically and say it inspired him to try it out. He said he chose his sister because she was small and couldn't remember stuff. So that's the Woody Allen defense.
Wow.
A detective told the court this is one of those tragic sexual experimentation cases. I'd feel terrible if I was the parent because, like, what do I do? I can't trust my son around my daughter. Like, wow. That, I don't know. I don't know what you do, man. Kill him, I guess? I don't know.
No.
But yeah, man, the case got called a bunch of shit. It's really salacious. And, UK IPS, United Kingdom ISPs have acceded to calls to filter pornography and other objectionable content by placing it on new customers to opt out of filtering as of the beginning of the year. But as a new bill is set to be discussed in committee, one which proposes internet users opt in to viewing adult content by proving they're over 18 is also going on. So yeah, they already have a law. It's just you can't outlaw bad parents.
Nope.
So
the thing about it is, the parents aren't going to opt out either because they want to watch their own porn.
Yeah, and also they probably, newsflash, a lot of these parents probably think their kid can handle it. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. On the low, everyone thinks their kid is the genius exception to the rule of, you know, you can shoot a motherfucker on a game, you can cuss people out, and you'll be fine. But all the other kids are the bad ones. Here's a hilarious story. The Resident Evil composer, who's called the Japanese Beethoven, apparently he's a big fat phony.
Oh, I was hearing about this on NPR.
Yeah, man. Like, dude is like internationally acclaimed as like a symphony. He creates masterpiece that touched the soul.
Yeah, he's supposed to be deaf.
But he's deaf. Legendary video game composer, his name is Mamoru Samaraguchi. He lies and puts his name on other people's work. So, a ghostwriter is, coming out of the closet. He said he used a ghostwriter over the last decade to create his compositions, which included work on Resident Evil and Onimusha franchises. Other pieces include a heartfelt dedication to those lost to the Hiroshima bomb of 1945, earning him a prestigious Citizens Award for his contribution. That's gotta suck.
Yeah, he's like a celebrity over there, man.
That's like making the
He really became Millie. He became the Japanese Millie Vanilli.
Dude, Yes. That's like making like, and not just for blaming on the rain and winning the Grammy, but that's like winning an award for memorializing 9/11 and then being like, nigga, you stole that. What? Then there's a composition called Sonatina for Violin, which is said to be featured during the Winter Olympics this year. Sochi, before he had his guilt trip, he had been the composer credited for these masterpieces. He was known as talented, deaf musical genius. Yeah, that's right. Deaf musical genius. Modern Beethoven, they called him. Takashi Nigaki, is the one who came out and said, yeah, nigga, I wrote all this shit and you are a fucking you are a plagiarist.
And the thing about it, they were saying that he had brought this dude in and you do your own music and then you kind of get them to assist you, because he was an assistant,
right?
He was saying before he knew, he was literally writing all his music and he was signing his name across it.
Yep. And the dude said that he doesn't even think he's deaf.
Yes. He sure did.
That's like how Bomani Jones doesn't think Stevie Wonder is blind. Like, but
I
worse.
She thought that because I don't think he's blind either.
Yeah, I don't think he's blind either. But I can't believe that we're now three people that don't think that nigga's blind.
He's basically the Chinese dude from The Prestige.
Yeah. No. Dude, he said he didn't do shit for 10 years, man. What? So, the fraud actually listened to his compositions and gave him feedback, something that a person with a hearing impairment might have difficulty doing.
Oh, shit.
Hey, man, you know, I think you need to change the pitch up a little bit. Huh? I thought, but you, just trust me on this, man. I know. I can't hear, but, you know, just change it up a little bit. Speed it up there. But it doesn't end there. Samuraguchi reportedly threatened to commit suicide if Nigaki would refuse to write his music.
Wow.
So, I'm gonna kill myself if you don't let me steal your music. I just thought that was cute. Google spent $3.2 billion on the purchase of Nest.
What's a Nest?
Nest is a company that wants to make like smart living things like thermostats, fire alarms, smoke detectors, like things that that live in your house.
Oh shit, is my shit gonna start attacking me if it get hacked? My toaster gonna pop up like, bitch, you done toasted me for the last time and throw some wheat toast at me. I don't know if I approve of this.
This does kind of
telephone gonna start attacking me and shit.
It does feel like the setup for some type of really weird horror movie where your house tries to kill you.
Yeah, it's like everything just start going off and lock you in and shit. I don't know about this one.
No, real talk, I actually thought about this because the Xbox One and shit, you talk and turn off, but then this is gonna sound so fucked up. Mm-hmm. So when I'm leaving that house, right, I can be like, Xbox, turn off, everything's fine. But then I'm like, fuck, I gotta hit the light switch.
I do this.
I'm gonna take my hands out of my pocket.
Right. I'll go in our bedroom where Karen has a 360 and a TV on the wall, and I'll be like, shit, I gotta find a remote to turn it off.
I feel like that every day, son.
Yeah, like that's how good it is at this point. I think that when I leave the house, I wish I could be like, house, alarm on.
Now, yeah, since you put it like that, the shit just might have to attack me then.
I swear though, we used to make so many jokes about, like, yeah, man, I don't want Skynet taking over. I don't want this to happen. I'm at the point right now, you know what, I'm welcoming Skynet. If it's this kind of comfortability, I welcome it.
People talk, this was so funny to me. All these motherfuckers who talk that shit on the internet, like Google, I don't want you reading my history and sending me customized advertisements. I do.
Yeah.
I like it better than random ones. I might click on it. Mm-hmm. It's happened to me before where I've been in Yahoo Mail or some shit and then it's like, did you know that Xbox Live cards are on sale for $40?
Yo, like Rod, like because of that custom advertising, like them doing, like I found a great t-shirt site where I got some, not even really ignorant, just like some cool ass nerd ass t-shirts for a great price, and they are great quality. Like, mm-hmm. You know, if they're targeting me for ads like that, I'm okay with that now.
Yeah, I like it better than untargeted. So sue me. I don't need to feel like I'm in control. I still gotta be the one to buy the shit. Saw something the other day where Amazon's gonna start pre-shipping shit. So like if you go out and you stare at Resident Evil 5 for 20 minutes and you don't get it, but you might put it in your shopping bin, they'll mail it to like the facility that's like a couple miles from your house. And whenever you go click on it, it's like, that's cool. Awesome. Be there in a day.
You know what?
That's amazing.
Not yet. He's almost ready for it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Just send it to the warehouse.
He'll click payment complete soon.
You're gonna
this
hit.
Is how I'm gonna get him. He's gonna click one day shipping, but he doesn't know we already have it.
Yes. And maybe what you fail to realize is that they were saying with some things, they were saying they know they might have everything. They said some shit they might actually ship to your house anyway, even if you don't order it and just give it to you as a gift. Like, fuck it, here it is.
That's crazy, man. I love it. You're
gonna hit buy. We're going to hit buy now. You're going to be like, man, I wonder when he's going to come open your front door. That motherfucker's going to be sitting right there. You're going to be like,
right. You're going to hit buy now, and it's just going to be a knock on the door.
Christian, you? I didn't hit send yet. It's okay. It's a gift.
Right. Added fucking Amazon drones, nigga.
Yeah.
You drop out of the sky like the drones from RoboCop and shit. I'm like, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say it's gonna be like because it came on last night, the episode of Squidbillies when the fucking PDA takes over and they start picking everything.
Yes. Yes.
They start picking everything and we're gonna all be excited until the two gay robots go, well, now we're gonna have a gay robot marriage.
Right. you're gonna be sitting hovering at your laptop like, should I buy this? Should I? Oh, it's here. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. next story. The government in the United Kingdom is addressing the fact that free to play video games aren't so free to play. And they are now announcing on April 1st, all video games will have to, submit to the 8 principles of free to play.
What?
Yeah, it's gonna.
I actually want to hear these principles.
It says these principles clarify OFT, Office of Fair Trading, view of online and app-based game industry obligations under consumer protection law following our market investigation in 2013.
This is good.
You like it?
I think this is good.
Let me see what the principles are here. All right, here we go.
So I think I know what they're getting at too, Rod. Because there's been like, it's more just, you know, you're probably just a dumbass parent, but there's like a lot of those free to play games in the forms of like that are on iPad, and they're starting to come onto some of the systems here as well. But there's a lot of these games where like, yeah, it's free to play, but if you want to hurry up and upgrade your character, you know, you got to spend money. And then a lot of parents, like, you know, they would have their kids playing these free games, but instead of the kids actually playing the game to get certain things, they would just keep clicking on the thing that would like purchase in-game money in real life. And then the parents would like be nowhere near the wiser.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll put the PDF out in the chat for people that want to see it.
That
I am just now realizing we were doing a live show. I didn't even realize you guys had a chat room and everything else.
Oh yeah. I mean, send me your email address. I'll get you in the chat.
No, it's okay, dude. It's all right now.
I didn't even think about that shit.
Cam.
But yeah, but send me your email address in chat if you want me to, man. I'll speak. Yeah,
no, that's okay. No, I'm cool. I'm cool now.
Oh, that Kev, and the fact that what they also don't tell you is that sometimes anything that you fucking want, you have to pay for. You know, and sometimes it'd be like, yeah, you get to a certain level, and they'll be like, hey, if you want to go beyond this level, you have to pay. You're like, motherfucker, why do you have me pay to actually go into certain levels? And that, and I have an issue with that.
Well,
because it's like, I think they had like a free Final Fantasy game they released like either I think last year or something, but then you have to pay for individual characters, and it's like, what the hell is the whole point here, man? It's like, yeah, you're giving me the option to play these games for free, but only up to a certain extent, and it's like, that's kind of bullshit.
So here are the principles. a lack of transparent, accurate, and clear upfront information relating, for example, to cost and other information material to a consumer's decision about whether to play, download, or sign up to a game. So, and I like that, you know, I think when you get it, it shouldn't just say free. It should tell me how you're going to fuck me. Now, I really think they probably believe it'll stop people from buying the game. I think it, people will still get these games.
Yes, they will.
But they would like to know, like, okay, man, so, like, how does Candy Crush fuck me in the end? That's what I want to know. Misleading commercial practices, including failing to differentiate clearly between commercial messages and gameplay. Exploiting children's inexperience, vulnerability, and credulity, including by aggressive commercial practices. That does suck when you're playing a game and, like, a big-ass ad pops up, like, right where the button for play is or some shit. And now it takes you to the store to buy another game that you don't fucking want or upgrade that you didn't give a fuck about. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when Angry Birds started doing that with the eagle. It'd just be like, yeah, you click this button and you're like, okay, let me go back to the next screen. Why am I going to buy a 99-cent eagle? let's see. Including direct exhortations to children to buy advertised products to or persuade their parents or other adults to buy advertised products for them. That is kind of scumbaggy. Hey, kids! Like a big ass.
You know you want this shit? Bug like your parents!
Big ass cartoon clown or some shit. Tell your mom to give you a credit card.
They do that. They do that on commercials too for internet. They be like, tell your parents to give you internet access so you can go buy this shit too.
Yeah, people forget they actually had to crack down on that. Like, you're not supposed to be doing that anymore. Telling kids to like go get their mom's money and shit. I think
now they say get your parents' permission. They used to didn't say that.
Black Dynamite had a joke about that once where it was like, now go get $20 out your mom's purse. payments taken from account holders without their knowledge, express authorization, or informed consent. I don't know why that wasn't already a rule. That does seem pretty shady that you can charge my card and then I get a bill a month later, you know, $6,000. Right. Let's see. So how many was that? That was only five.
Let me see.
Oh, they have three more. Okay. Then they said, there's also some stuff about the cost, and they said the initial cost of signing up, downloading, and purchasing the game, that needs to be broken down. Any subsequent costs that are unavoidable if the consumer wishes to continue playing the game.
Yes, yeah, so I told you, to get to a certain level, they're like, hey, you want to get level 70 and up, you got to pay.
And optional extra costs, including in-game purchases. So even let me know what the optional, like, shit is. If any of these costs cannot reasonably be calculated up front, an indication as to their nature and information on the manner in which their price is to be calculated should be given. So, like, maybe you can't determine how often somebody will pay to go up a level. Well, then you have to tell them the total of, like, all right, you pick to go up 60 levels, then that's going to cost $60.
Yeah.
Whenever he or she will be placed under obligation to play, the consumer should be made aware of the item's total cost in clear and prominent manner directly before the consumer places the order. For example, directly before he or she clicks buy or equivalent. So I guess sometimes they're like, would you like to buy this thing for 99 cents, per play? Like, sure. And then it's like, all right, you played 37 times.
Oh, so then they start adding up.
Yeah. So I'm not reading the whole thing, but those are the eight principles and. Can't really say I'm off. Can't really be mad at it, to be quite honest, man. Like, I don't think, I mean, obviously I don't have much sympathy for people that don't monitor their children or
don't have their children have complete access to their
right.
things.
They let their kids have access to credit card shit and all that. I don't have a lot of sympathy, but I understand that that is a shady practice to take advantage of the fact that they're, you know, they trust their kid to play a game.
And
like,
they talk
it's pretty
the shit at the children. The children are going to harass the parents.
Yeah. I wish they would do this with regular video games. Cause I think a lot of these games now people buy them, like Call of Duty. And then you get home and it's like, oh, by the way, there's $50 to get the DLC. And like, I wouldn't even have bought this shit if I knew it was going to cost $110 total to fucking have some fun.
Right. Yeah, this is one of the way this stuff happens, and you always hear the stories about, you know, there was that one kid that rang up like, you know, $10,000 worth of, charges on an Xbox, on a 360 or some shit like that. I tell, you know, as just regular people, you gotta be smart. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you shouldn't save your fucking, credit card information in the system. If I know that other people are gonna be using it, I'm not going to save the information there. Like, if I'm, if it's a community, laptop, you don't save your, you know, your Amazon information so that it automatically logs you in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with the Xbox One and with the Xbox and these other games. Don't save that shit there so that way, if you're going to give you're giving the shit to your kids, you know.
Yeah, dude, like, when I move in with my roommate in, like, 2 months, I'm putting so many locks so she doesn't randomly, accidentally buy some shit on my 360 or my Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's not, I don't trust adults with that kind of shit.
Dude, look, I was a kid. We all were kids when we remember that shit. I remember that first time I accidentally bought a porn on demand at home, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I was so fucking, like, because you didn't know. You're just like, oh, I'm going to hit this button. I'm going to see, maybe they'll give me a, oh, shit, I actually bought it.
Right.
Oh shit, that shit's gonna show up on the fucking bill.
Yep.
Oh shit, I didn't even watch it, but,
I can't even jack off to this, cause I know that I'm just gonna get an ass whooping, so, you know, nothing about this makes my dick hard at this point.
That shit is the worst, yo. You buy this shit and you're like, fuck, it's gonna be on the bill. Man, I can't even watch this shit now. Maybe that'll save you. You think of yourself?
Yeah.
That'll save you the ass whooping? A month now when they're asking you, like, listen, I tried to cancel it.
Yep. In hindsight, wish I got that nut, but instead I got grounded. End up getting grounded anyway. Speaking of addictive games, I don't know if you guys heard about this. It's been pretty big on the internet though. This one guy made a game called Flappy Bird. His name is Don, I think it's Don, it's pronounced Gwen, but it's N-G-U-Y-E-N. He produced, this game called Flappy Bird. That became a huge internet sensation because it was so shitty. It's really simple to play. And if you play it, you could have played it. You can't play it anymore. But it looked so much like a ripoff of Mario Brothers. I'm sure he was going to get sued.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's the pipes from Mario Brothers. The thing you control looks like that flying fish that jumps out the water and tries to kill Mario.
Oh.
But basically what you do is you tap your screen to make your bird fly. It's also impossibly hard. It's so frustrating that people got really, really addicted to it.
Duh!
So, he started feeling bad that he made the game and decided to take the game down. So he deleted it off of all the app stores. It was so crazy. People started selling the phones they had that had Flappy Bird on it to, on eBay, because people were like, oh, he took it down from the store, I can't get it. Some shit was going for over $100,000.
Wow.
Right. Now, it turns out that's illegal.
Yes.
You cannot sell, anybody's, licensed, property on eBay without the owner's consent, and obviously he's not giving any consent. So all those things are now illegal. You can't sell it, but you know, people are buying like iPhone 5S for $7,000.
See, it's shit like this, stories like this, that make me realize that maybe I should download these games, not to play them, but so I can make some quick money when shit like this happens, yo.
I thought about selling my phone, dude, because I have the game. Game ain't even that good. I ain't addicted to the shit at all. But I was like, yo, you know what? I can get some new contacts and, I can switch this line over, dog. I'll fucking give Verizon all the money for this contract and be out, for $100,000, but.
Right. Well, certainly just, it was like, I got some iPhone anyway. I was like, yeah, I need a new phone anyway. So why not?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I thought I'm not going to front. I downloaded this shit as soon as I heard he might take it down. And when I seen that $100,000, I was like, cha-ching. Cause, I don't need this shit. But, yeah. So he took it down from the store. You can't sell it, at least not on eBay, right?
Ain't that true? Don't mean you can't do it other ways.
Somebody want that shit. I don't know what you're going to do with the phone anyway, because you have to erase it back to factory settings.
I was just thinking about this shit. I'm like, yeah. Don't you got to go back to factory settings if you want to put in your own shit?
It's worse than that, though. It's worse than that. Listen, it's an app on a phone. I guarantee you can find that app somewhere on the internet at some point.
Yes.
And download it and put it on your phone. I guarantee, like, there are so many dark reaches of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
There, anything. If you can get snuff films, you can get Flappy Bird.
Well, guess who thought the same thing as you? All the people that make apps on the Google, on the Android phone, the Android marketplace. Yeah, those apps turned out to be scams and firmware and like all kinds of like viruses and shit. Cause, the Android is basically the wild, wild west of stores. Shout out to Apple, by the way. Yeah, that's why they regulate their shit so hard.
Right.
Cause I ain't never downloaded some shit that wasn't actually what it was supposed to be. And then it took over
a brick.
Yeah. And then it took over my phone and got my credit card. I ain't never did that shit on Apple. Cause Apple has 37,000 things you have to do to get an app on there.
To be fair. Like, I like the Android shit because you have to be really stupid sometimes to fall for that shit. Like, I remember when the GTA came out and they were supposed to be the GTA app and they were waiting to get it on Android.
Yep.
He will put in the description, this is not the GTA app.
Yep.
You would read the reviews that this is not the GTA app. And people would still download that bitch. I was just like, you know what? I like this.
Yeah. I mean, obviously for somebody else, fuck them, but... Like, there literally were people putting up apps that were like Flappy Bird, Flappy Bird 2. Mm-hmm. And shit, people was like, oh, I got Flappy Bird. Wait a minute. Why is my phone not working?
So, where'd all my credit card information go?
Yeah. But hey, that's what happens when you have the wild, wild west. You don't need to jailbreak your shit, but you also can get your shit broke.
Mm-hmm.
My man from Flappy Bird basically said, he not gonna make the shit. And when asked why, he said that, it was too addictive and he was ashamed, of people for, of what he was doing to people for getting it. So, it was just a crazy little small story. Not many people were talking about. A lot of people said, oh no, he's going to walk away from $50,000 a day. He's a fucking Vietnamese kid that lives with his parents. He's not walking away from the money, guys. The ads are still in the game. So unless he turns the ads off, he still gets that $50,000 a day.
And not only that, he was making $50,000 a day. Even if he walks away from that money, he still walked away with $50,000 a day for how many days?
It was only up there for, I think, a few, like maybe a week or so. But
that's enough for me.
Yeah, he can move out of his parents' house.
Right, nigga, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
He said on Twitter, I'm sorry, Flappy Bird users. 22 hours from now, I will take Flappy Bird down. I cannot take this anymore. Sounded like he was going to, like, kill himself, man. Like, that shit got retweeted 144,489 times.
Wow.
Kobe Bryant can say, I'm cheating on my wife. It won't get retweeted that many times. Mm-hmm. God damn. People love this game. Oh, all right, man. Twitter's supposed to be getting a Facebook like site redesign.
No.
Why?
No, always. So my shit won't be in real time. I'm getting shit 24 hours after somebody said the shit.
Somebody always gotta go too far. Twitter, you're the cool kid on the block.
I know.
Facebook's trying to be like you. Facebook added hashtags.
Yes, they did.
Like, they wanna be you, and your dumbass is trying to be like them.
I don't understand. Nobody on Twitter wants to be like Facebook except for Twitter, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the reason I prefer Twitter over Facebook, just for the fact that it's separate from Facebook. I can do what I want to. It's just different. And I just like that it's not Facebook.
They're trying to court people. And I've seen this. We've all seen this. They're trying to get people who love Facebook. And they're scared to do Twitter.
Those people are never going to come. Do they not understand? It's like the NBA trying to get a lot of white folks to like basketball. Mm-hmm. They're not coming. They don't give a fuck about the shit that you're selling.
Well, I think the design of it will make them feel more at ease, and they'll probably have more people come over. But here's the thing. We're on Twitter because we don't like those people.
Yes. So we're going to have more of the silly posts about kicks you don't give a fuck about. And about, folks, liking and disliking and we're going to have relationship status on Twitter and shit like that. I don't want none of that.
Yeah. So I got two thoughts on this. One, Twitter is trying really hard to get people to use the Twitter website and they don't understand that motherfucker. Nobody uses that shit.
Oh, like, no.
Fuck that shit. Two, what I look for in this, if they do start courting, Facebook people on the Twitter, like, what people don't understand, like, we're now all Twitter veterans. Like, we've been through the war. Like, we got battle scars and everything like that. These motherfuckers are going to come over from Facebook and start using Twitter and get eaten the fuck up.
Yep. And they're going to be crying.
It's going to be so fucking funny because you say some dumb shit on Facebook, it's just your people, and they're like,
yeah,
that guy.
He's sitting there watching it like the fucking Red Wedding and shit. Just in the I have many wives. Go right ahead.
The Red Wedding.
Be like, I don't think sexuality is right, and I don't agree with that shit. And then they're gonna come back and look at their mentions, and that shit is gonna look like that scene out of fucking Saving Private Ryan, and they're just gonna be mad as fuck. Like, what the fuck happened? So yeah, I look forward to the Yeah, I look forward to the chaos, yo.
I'll tell you what I look forward to. I wasn't looking forward to it that much until I heard this clip, but hey. I'm looking forward to this.
What about Nonstop, though?
Let me turn Nonstop. This up a little bit.
An action thriller wherein a U.S. Marshal has to solve a murder mystery and clear his own name all whilst flying on an airplane 40,000 feet above the Atlantic Ocean.
What about Nonstop, though?
Nonstop. Starring the sexy and mysterious Julianne Moore, and also starring the one and only
Liam
Neeson. Oh, you guys can't hear it?
Yeah, I can't hear a damn thing.
Oh, hold on. Let me,
still waiting.
Yeah, I was like,
oh, okay. All right. Yeah, shit. That's my bad. Sometimes audio acts stupid on here. Let me see. Thought I had fixed this the other day too.
This is like an every other day thing. It's right. Like, oh, today we working. Today we other next day we not.
Yeah, but I'll just for the audience, man. I think they can hear it in chat. But okay, so they heard it. Okay, all right. Well, I'm not gonna finish it because obviously we don't need to finish it. But yeah, it's Key and Peele talking about Nonstop, the Liam Neeson vehicle that looks like taken on a plane. I was out on this. And I forgot what I was thinking. Like, of course I want to see this horrible movie. It's Impossible White Man.
Dude, like, I was seriously zoning out on this movie and so many other movies. Then they did this Key and Peele shit. And they're getting me hyped for it because they're so hyped.
Yes.
And we talked about this yesterday. The joint that really got me, though, is the very fucking end when Liam Neeson himself looks at that motherfucking screen and goes, Nonstop. You're just like, motherfucker is in on it.
He said, Nonstop is my shit. And that shit turned off. I said, Liam Neeson's dog. Give so, yeah, I'm in. More movie news. Star Wars Episode 7 will start shooting from May through September. J.J. Abrams, y'all.
Yeah, I heard about that too. Yeah, well, they're going to start this year, and I don't even think we really know much about the cast either, which is I think is really dope too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm loving the fact that you know a lot of this is just a surprise.
Yep.
J.J. does that. We probably won't know shit about this movie until it comes out. He did it. He does.
And I'm happy for that.
And I'm hoping that the because I'm working on my next post and I'm going in on these Star Trek films. I'm really hoping Star Wars fans are more accepting of JJ's work.
They will be. No offense, because I know a lot of people that love Star Trek, but Star Trek fans are kind of a different breed because they also had all these TV shows that are like canon. And you know, if it's that catch-22 where like if you fall in love with the TV shows, then it's kind of hard to love what J.J. Abrams did because the TV shows couldn't really afford to and didn't really try to be big action movie type set pieces. It's almost like they've been in this fight for years with these Star Wars fans like, oh, fuck that. What's really good is this small TV, small budget, really stories that are just smaller but better, more intimate. And Star Wars fans have been like, no, man, blowing shit up in space and cutting people up with lightsabers. That's where it's at. So I think when J.J. Abrams came out with that Star Trek movie, a lot of them felt violated. Like, oh, how dare you come to their side with our shit and action it up? This ain't no fucking Star Wars. We like these campy ass old school movies. And okay. I never did like them.
Nigga, after watching Wrath of Khan and the movie, the TV episode that was tied to that, oh my, I'm a Star Trek fan, but I really need these motherfuckers to shut the fuck up. That shit is so bad. My God. But yeah, I'm down for JJ, man. He puts a lot of detail into stuff, And so the detail he's going to put into Star Wars makes me really excited for that franchise, man. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and me too. I'm excited. And do you think that the lack of technology prevented from them to do it, or they just like, we just don't want to do it for this series?
They don't have, they never had the money. It was TV. Oh, okay. TV is so different than movies. Like, you know, you, like with TV, you have to spread your budget. And then, you know, also you're right, technology and then like how, the times that they did this shit in. But mm-hmm. more importantly, it's just, you don't have the money to be like, let's fucking make, episode three, they start with like two fucking Battlestar cruisers mm-hmm. crashing into each other and descending into the planet, as Anakin and, Obi-Wan try to escape with the Emperor while fighting off fucking, the dude with the six lightsabers. Yeah, nigga, you can't afford that on a fucking TV budget. So
that's true.
You know, I think a lot of people just convinced themselves that that was superior to the action shit. And then when J.J. Abrams was like, nah, man, it could be kick ass too. And it's not like he disrespects fans. He has a lot of fan service in those movies. Mm-hmm. And those people just don't, they just don't like that he did that. So I don't think we'll get the same backlash with Star Wars, because Star Wars, shit, fans been asking for better action,
yes,
better writing, more up-tempo shit. Like, if you ask almost any Star Wars fan the shit they don't like about the new trilogy, it's almost always the stupid shit, like, why the fuck are Padme and Anakin sitting in the motherfucking, in a forest in the garden for, like, 2 hours of this movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you on the TV budget stuff, but I'm not gonna let these motherfuckers get off the hook that easily, because I'm writing this article and this one I say on this. I can excuse having I understand having a smaller budget and having bad sets. I can excuse that away if the acting is good, but I'm just gonna go ahead and say the acting was fucking terrible in these shit.
Yeah, it's
like,
bad.
We talk about Leonard Nimoy and fucking William Shatner, but those motherfuckers can't act.
Like, yeah, that was I didn't know people argued that they could. Like, this is new to me. I thought it was obvious. Like, I thought that's why you like William Shatner, is because he's always overacting and, you know, like, it's always like, it's almost like a Broadway show, the way that he, like, overly emotes. Like, no one really does that.
I've seen people say, like, there's two scenes from Wrath of Khan and the one from Darkness, the death scenes, like, when mm-hmm. Kirk dies in the darkness and then Spock. Comparing those two, like, I've seen people go, oh, it's way more emotional and meaningful in Wrath of Khan. I'm like, no, it's not. It's terribly acted. It's so bad. So bad. But then when you actually watch people who can act
mm-hmm.
do that scene in Into Darkness, it's like, that actually matters. It makes so much. But people will argue with you. They cannot act for shit. The reason why they're so popular now, though, is they just play themselves. Like, Nimoy is just always playing himself now.
Right.
Same thing with Shatner. Anytime he gets a guest appearance, like, fuck, even the Priceline commercials,
mm-hmm.
he's just William Shatner in the Priceline. Like, it's so bad, man. And it's like, that is why I can't forgive the low budget, because when you have low budget and you have bad acting, you can't help but notice how.
Yeah, I think they just convinced themselves that it's good. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I really think they got it. Man, you got to remember, man, you're talking about what, 20, 30 years of fighting at this point.
Oh yeah.
Between them and Star Wars people, they really didn't want to take that L when J.J. Abrams made two better movies. They didn't want to, so they got a shit on them, man. It's like, if they don't, then they kind of are admitting that Star Wars did it better, man, and they don't want to do that shit. That's my theory anyway.
I think Star Wars did, and also I think for me, as somebody who kind of came into it as far as not really nerding out about either series, I think that the Cartoon Network series of Star Wars is better than some of the Star Wars movies, especially the older ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where it's like, why can't you take this cartoon series and make a movie out of it? Because, yeah, it got action, but it was more drew you in. It was more in-depth with the storyline, the plot. You didn't have, like you said, 3 hours with them in the senator's office, you know, debating shit and shit nobody gives a fuck about. You, especially if you're like, let's just move the story along. So for me, I like that he came in, because like I said this before, I like his version better than the original version, because for me, I prefer the action.
Well, they're also movies. It's not, I mean, but even if they did TV, it would be better to me at this point. Just because things have updated, man. We just have more, we understand more, like, Battlestar Galactica to me was better than Star Trek, man. And I know that's fucking blasphemous to say, but like,
no,
it was better to
no,
me.
It's
like
not blasphemous. It's oh, correct.
Okay. All right. Cool. I didn't know that was going. Yeah. I'm sure somebody's gonna write us or something. But you know what I mean. Like, it was just better to me because it was like, you know, acting has been updated over fucking course of 30 years, man. Like, Adama's not running around talking about some damn like, oh no, where's my son? Like,
dude, the shit is not only that. It's also sexist. I'm like, me and Kev did we watched Next Generation, and I haven't put it up yet, but we watched the racist episode, Code of Honor. You could tell they were trying to make it seem like it's a planet of black people and they're more advanced, but they did it so wrong. You could also tell they had no black people in the writing process, because at one point in the scene, the white chick is showing one of the black leader the holodeck, right? Which is basically just an empty room with a mat on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Kev were joking. We're like, man, it'd be funny as hell if they pull out somebody and they just start showing him like a white hood, like a KKK member or something like that. Why did she for the sparring partner, it was going to be a ninja, but why was a ninja not in black but he was in all white?
What? Why?
I don't know. I was like, dude, do you guys like,
what's a fucking weird ass hood too? And like, I'm like, it's not quite pointy, but god damn it, man, that's just like
little KKK-ish.
You guys didn't think not one point during this entire episode here.
Then they had the black dude kidnapping the white chick. I was like, you guys are failing in all the fucking visuals. Like, I knew it wasn't on purpose, but you could tell they didn't think about that shit. Like, last thing, Trekkies are so delusional that, you know, I think we talked about this before, but they believe that they'll put things like Galaxy Quest as like a good Trek movie. And you're like, you know, there's a satire making fun of Star Trek, right?
Mm.
Like, you're so desperate to say that that's a good Star Trek movie that you're going to say a movie that makes fun of Star Trek is one of the best Star Trek movies made. That's how crazy they are, yo. Yeah. And no, guys, Next Generation is not the best series. Go back and watch it. Those first two seasons are fucking horrendous.
So what's the best Star Trek series? Deep Space Nine?
Deep Space Nine, more than likely, yeah. And that one's a lot of fun to watch.
And then Voyager 2?
Because what happens is those last two series, they actually have plot and storylines that track. Like, with Voyager, and to me also, they also have minority captains. Mm-hmm. So for Deep Space Nine, you have a black captain. For Voyager, you have a female captain, Captain Janeway. And they're actually good stories. Like, they're connected. They're not just, like, hapless guys running around the galaxy trying to do things here. Like, there's actually things that go on. It's connected. And they have an ongoing story that connects to season. And it makes sense, and you grow with the characters. Whereas other things, it's like, that first season of Star Trek is really bad, guys. Mm. It's really bad.
Of just Star Trek or?
Of Next Generation. Okay. It's really bad.
Well, I will say, I saw a Next Generation movie the other day, and it was pretty bad.
Yeah. There's only
one good Next Generation movie. Mm-hmm. And it's like the one they did with the Borg. That was actually really the only one that, and many people consider that to be the only really good Star Trek movie before the reboot of the series.
Okay, I had to check that out.
I'm gonna sell you on Voyager right now, because somebody just mentioned it in the joint. I think it's like season 3 or 4. You get Jerry Ryan as 7 of 9. You get that chick in a cat suit, nigga. You be fine. That's all you need to see. All
right. Well, shit. That's all it takes.
Right. You know, they got Jerry Ryan on that show, and you're just like, she is fatter than I remember.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. I'm in. There's a dude who's remaking Akira, and I was kind of excited about live action Akira, especially coming off the heels of Pacific Rim. But then he said that it won't be too faithful to the source material.
No.
Because he doesn't believe that Japanese characters translate well to the screen.
No, yeah.
That's how you get me not to watch it, dog.
Ain't that, no, I won't watch that, because I remember watching that with you, and that is like a great anime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, how do you, like, I'm not even an anime fan, but I know that's like one of the major anime. How do you go and say you're going to make a live action and then go, yeah, you basically pull a Fox and go, yeah, I know you guys are really looking forward to this, but I don't believe in the source material, so fuck you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's real fucked up, because they did a live action with Death Note, And we actually went to the movie theaters for like the first and the second part. And it was like the coolest shit ever because people like came out in their costumes and all dressed up and, you know, and everybody was in there and we had a great time. It's one of those things. It's
fan service.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody's there for. And the characters are almost exactly like the anime.
Yes.
And then in this joint, he's like, yeah, I don't find any of the characters from the original story to be interesting.
Yeah. And what's even fucked up. That's like somebody who likes, Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Somebody, I'm going to remake Goldilocks. Fuck Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Nigga, what? That's the whole purpose of the goddamn story.
He said, it's different because you have to be respectful of the source material. Otomo adapted his own work from a manga into an anime and both things are completely different and genius. The only way to do a live version of Akira is to take the spirit and adapt. Oh, I hate when they say that. Take the spirit and adapt it. It will be as different as the anime was from the manga. I hope I can bring strong characters in the original source material. I don't think the main characters are the protagonists. What I'm hoping is to bring characters. Nobody's interested in anime. Tetsuo's interesting because weird shit happens to him, and Kaneda is two dimensional. That's part of Japanese culture that they never have strong characters. They're used as a way to move the other philosophy forward.
Is this somebody that's an American making this?
He's French.
Okay. I had, and the thing about it is that the way he's talking, there's so many people's attitude who don't know a goddamn thing about anime. They just assume that it's stupid, and they just assume that people will not accept it, and they just assume that why am I taking something that's from another culture and trying to, I guess, frame it into another culture. Mm-hmm. But what they fail to realize is that's what made it great, just the way it was written and the storyline and the background. It tells a compelling story, and a lot of this shit has been around for years. And I think a lot of times it's disrespectful to the people who took the time and created this shit and made wonderful animes that people have been reading and made like comic book series out of it. And it's really insulting to them when they go, all this shit that you sold and made millions of dollars and people still to today are finding this shit out for the first time. Fuck all that shit. It don't mean nothing. I don't understand how you come to that concept when it's a whole, market behind this.
Yep.
Said, and then the other thing too is just like, what doesn't make any sense to this is, nigga, why would you say that now? Like, you're basically telling people up front that this movie is not going to be what you think it's going to be. It's not going to give you the fan service you want. So anybody who was excited to see this movie is going to go, well, I guess I'm not going to watch that. And yeah, it's not going to sell. So
nope.
Why would you, I appreciate you telling, like, I'd be, like, it's almost like with the Bryan Singer shit. Like, I'm actually appreciative of Bryan Singer doing all the shit he does because now I know better than go watch the film.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, well, nigga, you would have been a lot smarter if you had just kept that shit to yourself. And
this shit reminds me of something Michael Bay would say.
Right.
I'll just put it like that. Like, where he's like, people don't come to Transformers movies to see big robots fighting. Okay, right, guys? They come to see Bernie Mac selling his first car to a kid. Okay? That's the kind of thing that we're into here.
Yeah, no.
They come to see the guy who plays in Community do a bunch of Asian jokes about stereotypes. That's what it's about, guys. And I'm sorry if you came here to see fights. No, we want to see how many times Shia LaBeouf can yell Bumblebee, okay?
And don't nobody give a fuck. And the thing about it is that the people that would get excited, like me and Roderick and other people out there, we're going to fuck you. We're not buying tickets to some bullshit. And then the people that you're trying to get to don't give a fuck and don't know anything about it.
I almost just got mad and I was just about to yell, who the fuck do you think is supposed to be excited for this? But I'm not going to. I'm mature and I'm moving on to the next article.
I'll say, who the fuck you think going to be excited about this bullshit that you about to put out there? Not me.
They're replacing Jason Statham in the Transporter next trilogy, which is going to be a prequel to the Transporter.
They milking this cow, ain't they?
Which nope. I don't get because it's maybe, and you know what? This can't be the real name, but they have Transporter 4. It's gotta be a placeholder or something. But it's supposed to be a prequel. I don't know. It says Transporter 4. What do you mean look the same? It's gonna be a different actor. It's not gonna be him at all. It's gonna be some other, it's gonna be the dude who played Dario Naharis from Game of Thrones will be Jason Statham prequel. Jason Statham. No.
Who's going to watch that?
Nigga, no.
Right.
Why? Donald Logue, who's from Terriers and Sons of Anarchy, has been cast, in, the show Gotham. It was leaked like three weeks ago that he was going to be in the show somehow. And that he was offered to play the part of, Harvey Bullock. But then, you know, it was off and now it's being confirmed. So it actually is going to happen. I didn't know Fox was making this. Mm-hmm. Is it coming on Fox or is it coming on WB?
No, it's coming on Fox.
Oh, interesting. Fox? Okay, so Fox.
They said, do you have all the casting they have for that?
Yeah, I got some more casting news here. Alfred, they cast Penguin, Alfred, and Gordon's boss and his fiance. Apparently, Ben McKenzie landed the lead role of Jim Gordon. I think he was in that TNT cop drama.
Southland.
Yes, Southland, which I heard good things about. I just never watched.
No, it was a good show. You know, it never really got the following, but I enjoyed watching Southland. And it also had, what was her name?
Regina Hall.
Yeah, Regina Hall in it. Yeah,
so. Regina Hall.
Regina King.
Regina King.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she was in it, and I loved her in that show. So,
Robin Lord Taylor will be playing, the Penguin, this is?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't really know much about him.
Yeah, what got me isn't really who they cast, it's the descriptions for the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have those?
I don't have the descriptions, nah.
Robert Lord Taylor would play Oswald Cobblepot.
Oh, wait, shit, I got it, yeah. Cobblepot, with the brains of a chess grandmaster and morals of a jackal, Cobblepot is a low-level psychopath for gangster Fish Mooney and hides his sadistic lust for power behind an exquisitely polite demeanor. Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, so this is going to be about his rise.
Yeah, dude. So that's what they're doing with the show Gotham. It's like Bruce Wayne's going to be like 12 years old. It's going to really follow Gordon, and you're going to see all the little the villains basically before they're really Batman's villains. And yeah. You're going to basically see them progress. And I think they're saying that eventually at the end of the season, like they had, not season, but the end of the show's run, you'll eventually get Batman, Bruce getting into the role of Batman, saying that he needs to now help Gordon or whatever.
And you know, see, that's actually the only thing I'm not really too keen about with this show. It's like, it feels like, especially with if it ends up going that whole Smallville route with it.
It's not Smallville though. Cause see, with Smallville, they focus.
See, on, you know, they are eventually going to lead to Batman putting on the cape and cowl. They are going to have someone eventually playing Bruce Wayne on the show, eventually leading towards him putting on the cape and cowl. And it's essentially becoming what Smallville was. Everything that led up to Superman first putting on the cape and cowl.
Right, but the difference is, I think, to me, Batman's rogue gallery and the people around Batman are actually technically more interesting than Batman and Bruce Wayne himself. So you have all these other interesting stories you can do. Bruce is going to be 12. So you're not going to get they're not going to center on Bruce. Like, with Smallville, it's centered on Clark Kent. Like, he was the main character of the show. The main character of this show is actually Gordon. Bruce Wayne is a small child who's, you know, an extra on the show. So I was more
pumped for this when they really weren't adding the whole Bruce Wayne. Like, if they would have kept Bruce Wayne completely out of the show, I think I would be, I'd be totally more into this. But it was like, once they started talking about, we're eventually going to add in Bruce Wayne and getting towards to him putting on a cape and cowl and everything. Cause that was some of the parts that really made Smallville just come off as being just really stupid cheesy, and I don't want to have that happen for the show either. I think that's what I'm mostly getting at.
Yeah, I'm not getting that feel from it just because it seems like I gotta find the description of it. The way they made it seem like was that Bruce was basically gonna see the corruption that was happening in the city from seeing what Gordon's dealing with and everything else going on, and it's not even like the main storyline will be him leading into Batman. It's just gonna be one of the things that happens where you're seeing how shitty the city's going and you're like, oh, that's why Bruce does what he does. Yeah. So that's the way I see it is.
And also, like, I think it's a good idea because if they center it around Gotham and it's not just called Gotham, but where it's kind of like, cause Jim, I think the side characters in Gotham are much better than the side characters in Superman's lore.
Oh, absolutely.
In Smallville, like, you know, there's actual crime going on and being solved. And I've actually was going to say something the other day. Some of my favorite Spider-Man and Batman comics are villains versus villains. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, Penguin is fighting with Two-Face for this section of Gotham. And like, I'll read a whole section of just No Man's Land or something about that, where I'm just like, this is awesome. Batman hasn't shown up in 20 pages, you know? I think Smallville just lacked that. You just weren't able to do it. And they turned it into this like teen high school drama shit where it's like, and this is going to represent an addiction to smoking weed, you know? And I didn't like that. So I'm more hopeful for Gotham, especially after how they redid the New 52. Like, some of the best writing is in like Batman years, I think year zero is what it's called, where he's like really, really, even before year one, where it's like a nigga in pajama pants fighting and shit. Like, that shit is dope. Like, so I'm interested.
Do you see the one, the way they described Alfred too?
Yeah, I'm about to, yeah, Alfred, as a tough as nail ex-marine from East London, Pennyworth has loyally served the Wayne family. Now in the wake of their tragic deaths, he's fiercely protective of the young Bruce Wayne, the boy who will eventually become Batman. So, yep, that's always my favorite way for them to write Alfred. A lot of people don't know, originally Alfred was written as a bumbling, idiot. Mm-hmm. And they had to change that in the comics when they, rebranded him, like in, I think, the '80s. They were like, yeah, let's make him a badass, cause him being, like, Batman used to talk shit to him, like, on some, like, you bumbling idiot! What are you doing? And I was like, yeah, that's, I couldn't imagine that kind of Alfred now. Mm-mm. Essen balances the two worlds of police and politics with a Machiavellian skill that's as much as corporate litigator as cop. And Keen, a sophisticated emergency doctor, Keen stands by her husband amid the corrupt world of Gotham. So, yeah, all right, I'm good, man. Let's do it. So
the character, I don't know a lot about the cast, but the character descriptions to me have been like, I'm in.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot at least, man. I'm wary of it. I'm wary of the idea of it going Smallville. Obviously, I think anybody would be a fool not to at least consider it. But I'm way more optimistic that it won't, because, you know, we've had the experience now. It's Fox. It'll be primetime. And I really hope, you know, I really would like to think that everybody's kind of learned the lesson of, like, you know, Smallville went on way too long about bullshit.
And I think Smallville was actually aimed for a younger audience too.
Yeah. Plus, people forget, man, Batman Year One is a really good comic, but, Batman Year One, it was dope as shit. And it's really not about Batman. It's about Commissioner Gordon.
I enjoyed that.
Like, I would love to see his first foray. Like, I'm sure it'll be towards the end of Gotham, but the first time when he tries to fight crime, like, remember how bad that shit went, man? Like, he almost killed a dude. Like, I would love to see this nigga like slipping on some ice in a railing and shit. And like, on Batman Year Zero, man, there's a part where he's like trying to catch the dude, a criminal who's running away on rooftop, and he shoots his bat, like his gravel gun, and it just hits a brick and falls down. and then he tries to shoot the second one and the cord tangles up and he just has to throw him down and jump the roof anyway. Dude, like that kind of shit can be interesting if you show it right. The Flash has cast, John Wesley Shipp, who was originally the Flash in 22 episodes of, The Fastest Man Alive, which started, I don't know, when was this shit? Mm-hmm. 1990?
Yeah, I remember watching that shit, dog. It was bad, but I watched every fucking episode of that shit.
What the hell is this?
The 90s were the year where you used to get like this, there's a bunch of shit too.
When the CW tried to have that Aquaman palette that didn't go?
No, that was way long. This was like back when I was a kid.
Oh.
Like the Flash, like he would be in the Flash suit and he had like muscles too.
I remember this TV show.
It was like a muscle bound pajama suit.
Yeah.
They actually tried to make it look like matter of fact, I think this is one of those shows why.
Are you even referring back to that original Justice Friends movie they tried to make and shit?
Oh shit!
Because they made a Justice League like live action movie before.
Justice Friends, what?
Yeah, they called it like it mostly. It was an old ass movie, but they focused on like the Martian Manhunter, the Green Arrow, and Aquaman, and some other like bullshit ass shows.
Not about that shit.
Yeah, damn, nigga, I'm looking at him. He does look Diesel as shit in a Flash costume, man. What? Flash is not Diesel like this.
Dude, I remember watching the fuck out of this show, man. Cause it's like, you were a kid, you had nothing else on.
Oh, why does that thing in his chest look like you could take it out like a gold piece that's like super glued on the front of that? Because
his pecs are too big to just have regular cotton.
Okay, so it can't be sewn in?
Implement shit.
Well, it's velvet, so.
Damn, this nigga would, this Flash look like he don't do cardio.
No.
This nigga would be slow, lumbering and shit after you.
Oh. Gym day selfies all the day, yo.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I remember watching that shit, man. I used to love, he wasn't bad on the show, but it's just a bad show. What I'm thinking about this, with this guy, cause they don't tell you who he's gonna be.
Yeah.
I'm actually liking it though, because it reminds me of what they did with Battlestar Galactica when they, cast, what was it, Tom Hatch to be Zarek. And he killed that fucking role on Battlestar. So I'm hoping that it'll be something like that. But yeah, man, it's a nice little tip of the hat to the guy who used to play Flash. But
yeah
that TV show was bad. I think I found an episode of it once.
Okay. And yeah, it's gonna be real, by the way, it's gonna be real funny if, Flash is where everybody checks out. Like, I've been thinking about this for a while, cause like Arrow is still kind of like quote unquote real, especially the way how they're really careful about how they display superpowers. Mm-hmm. Flash's rogue gallery is way more colorful, powerful, and fun. Gonna be interesting to see where Joe Average taps out. Like, if he goes, nope, I don't believe the trickster. I'm done now. And I'm out. No thanks.
This is tougher than Arrow. Like, Arrow was easy. This Flash pilot is the one that, I mean, even, they're going to do I think NBC's doing Constantine. Mm-hmm. Those are all easy to me. This Flash joint right here, though, this is the one that to me is like, your move, CW. We'll see what you can do. Yeah. Because I'm not sure how it's going to work out, yo.
Good luck, though. I hope it works, man. Will Smith is not going to be Independence Day 2. Michael B. Jordan is going to take over. Good. I'm not. Mm-hmm. No problem. South Park, The Stick of Truth, it's finished. It'll actually be out March 4th.
They've been pumping this game for years, incredible. Ain't they?
Nigga, they ended the last season of South Park. They had an episode that literally was like, we're never coming out with this game. Because it got to be, it was that much of a joke because it was taking them so, they've been talking about this game for years at this point. And they just finally finished it, man. So they said it's, you know, official release date. It's done. I forget who they're making it for. Ubisoft has confirmed it. So, well, I should be getting this game, man. So, good.
Not trusting that shit. I remember the last time I held out for a game that was supposed to be this and kept getting delayed and stuff like that. No. It turned out to be some trash.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope it's good, man.
Good luck.
If you made motherfuckers wait like Duke Nukem and this shit sucks.
Dude, that's the game I'm talking about. Like, do you know how long motherfuckers used to wait for Duke Nukem to come out?
I really thought people stopped waiting for Duke Nukem, dude.
No, people would never. I stopped waiting, but other people didn't stop waiting. When that game came out, they were like, yes, finally, it's here. It's ready.
And you take two steps and die, and then you got to start our way over at the
beginning.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, you forget that it's hard.
Very hard.
You haven't had to play a hard game in a long time.
With no saves.
And health packs.
And no auto control, and no auto saves.
Yeah.
No save, no halfway points.
You forget how corny that shit is. Anyway,
extra lives.
Sonic might hit Xbox One and PS4 and Wii U in 2015. Update, Sega says this information is incorrect. Never mind. Fuck. Anyway, more importantly, this is why I don't want Nintendo to disband.
That makes sense. Dude.
Cause, Sega's still trying to hold on to that Sonic, dog. It's all they got.
It's been trash for years.
That's crazy. Like, just put this shit out already. They like, nope, it's all we got. We ain't got no console. We just holding on to Sonic. So I'm assuming
until they actually start developing cross-platform, that's never going to happen. Like, Nintendo is going to hold its babies until the company itself probably folds. Like that. Like, that's what I mean. If you think about it, Nintendo's mascots are what started video games. I mean, if it wasn't for Nintendo, it wasn't for those mascots, we wouldn't be where we are today with like the whole video game culture. So I can understand why they're even more so protective over their babies.
Yeah, I agree. I think gamers get so hype about the idea of like, you know, hey man, we're going to be able to get Mario Brothers on Xbox. It's like, They're never gonna do that. We'll die.
Like, I don't even think it's like so much like just the fact that it being on another system. I think it's also like you also gotta look at like just like Japanese culture as like a whole with it as well, because you know what, those developers like Miyamoto, his whole team that does like the Zeldas, the Mario games, they take so much pride in their work. And like, and if you look at it, like not one of their games that they come out with, like for Metroid, Mario, Super Mario Brothers, or Legend of Zelda, like they usually garner so much critical acclaim because that, you know, that is their fucking lifeblood. And I think even more so to them, to put something out that someone's only going to pay like what, $2 or $3 for, just to mess around their iPhone with. I even think to a point it might be degrading for the kind of work that they think that they feel they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's a lot of pride there. And then, you know, also if one day they say we do want to sell the company, if you've given up Mario, Zelda, all, like
what are you going to sell?
That's, you know, true.
So. I mean, at the very most, I mean, I can see maybe in the next few years them possibly doing cross platform to get, you know, to get the money, I guess, like the kind of profits that you would get from, you know, having a Mario game on all three systems. Cause like, no, let's face it. I don't care who you are. If they came out and said like, yeah, you know what, new Super Mario, like the last, like Super Mario 3D Land or something like that, the last one that came out, or the last big 2D one that came out on the Wii U. Mm-hmm. If they actually said, yeah, we're going to announce this for the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox and the Xbox One, same exact game, controls are different. Yeah, you have Xbox Live playability and like PS Plus playability. Like that's money in the bank. But it's still just with the fact that, you know what, they made those icons and that company off of that. And I don't even think they're just really willing to give in like they did. Like Sega lost. Like Nintendo has fought that long hard battle.
And I'm saying even with Sega quote unquote losing, they're not ready to give up on Sonic. So like it's just not going to happen. Like,
and I also think it's a little bit different when you compare it to Sonic, because I mean, let's face it, like after like pretty much Sonic the Hedgehog moved into like the 3D realm, like their game, like the quality of the games fell off from where it was with like the Sega Genesis games or even the Sonic CD game. Like those were like quality 2D side scrollers, and they started adding in other types of elements. Like I remember, cause I had Sonic Adventure 1 and 2. They had all these like these shooting elements, like these stages where you had to go find the crystals. I'm like, yeah, you know what? These are nice. I mean, they do break up a little bit of the monotony, but that's not what people want to get from a Sonic the Hedgehog game. It's about that speed. It's about platforming and speed.
Agreed.
And they really haven't gone back to recapture that.
Right. And what I was gonna say is, if Sega won't give up on Sonic, even after not really having a platform.
Oh, okay.
You know these will die before someone gives up on Mario. Mario way better than Sonic. And Zelda and fuck, like they're go out to like maybe like all the way down to Donkey Kong. They would not give up any of those.
If it's a Nintendo mascot, I mean, they know how, I mean, shit, Nintendo has their own fucking stores. I mean, there's not many other video game companies that can actually, you know, attest to that. I mean, and their stores are popular as hell.
Yep.
Like they have like what, two or three stores in like the United States, maybe a couple more, where they just have like Nintendo shit. And, you know, people, there are certain people who go out of their way when they go to New York just to go to a Nintendo store, just to be in that kind of environment, because they know what they have. Like they know what kind of, like they know what they've put out all these years. Like they know what their legacy is.
Yep. I always say if they ever need money, they should just release one old school platform game put it in everybody's
Super Mario All-Stars, like that one cartridge had like the first three Mario games on it. If they did something like that. Xbox Live or PS or the PS Arcade or even on Android, it would sell game by. They don't have to add a single thing to it, just like give you the ability to save. Here you go, play old school Mario Brothers on your Xbox. I would be so happy.
They could charge up to like $20, $30 and people would still buy.
And you know
what?
People will still buy it, because regardless of how old those games is, it is still a quality platformer, and it still has great elements, and it's still a great challenge.
Yep. Next episode of Walking Dead season 2 is just around the corner. Okay, Telltale. Xbox One is going to have a free game promotion coming soon. It'll be kind of like Games with Gold, but for Xbox One. Major Nelson announced it. They didn't give the exact dates, but, you know, just another one of those things that people.
I think it's going to be Forza. They'll probably end up giving away Forza.
Yeah, or, you know, I think it won't, they don't have enough games to do a game a month. They don't have enough
games to start giving away free games, but right. I think if they were to start giving away a free game, I think we'd more than likely be Forza.
Yeah, yes. And especially the way Forza's paywall is anyway. It's like, here's Forza, mm-hmm. but, you wanted cars? Oh. Right. Oh, well, shit then. Yeah, you gotta pay for that.
You get Forza for free just so you can watch. It'd be like getting a free NASCAR, yo. Yeah.
Wait a minute, there's that many paywalls in Forza?
Yeah, dude. They actually had to take some down. Cause it was a lot of like buy.
You can't actually earn the cars through progression of the game.
Or... You can, but people were saying it was so steep that and the cars.
They don't want to put the time actually into playing the game to unlock them themselves.
Right. And they said that, and the time it would take compared to the money made people just go out and buy it because the time was too much. And then, they also said the cool cars you just, like, you know, it wouldn't have been so bad, but you know, they advertise with like all these cool ass cars. And then when you get it, it's like, all right, pick between a Nissan, Honda.
Or a Dodge.
Right. And then motherfuckers like, what is this shit? So,
I did one race and I turned that shit in because it was just like, I had a crash and that game was so fucking realistic.
It's too real.
I got whiplash from the fucking crash.
Nigga, that's the only game I would not recommend anyone get because it's too real and I got stressed out. So I used to be like, oh, this nigga scratching my door. What? Mm-hmm. Come on, man. Like I was driving a real car. I was like, after I put the game, I was like, this is not why I buy racing games.
Oh,
I buy racing games so I can like drive through a gas station, make it explode behind me. And spit
of it as you do it.
Yeah, kill three cops and hit a civilian. Like that's why I get racing games, not for fucking simulation.
Hey, baby, you was thinking about that $500 deductible.
Exactly. All right. Call of Duty. Finally, we've been saying it on the show since the day we started, but they're gonna do it. They're switching the Call of Duty to a 3-year development cycle.
Oh my god.
The next game is for Sledgehammer. Thank you. Thank you.
I actually want to buy the next Call of Duty after hearing that.
Yep. Yep. It was getting too bad, man. Shit was coming out every year like Madden. Mm-hmm. And, the last one was just so lackluster, man. They didn't put any time. The single player campaign, you can play in like 4 hours. Like it was clearly just a money making machine. $50 for DLC day one. Come on, man. Yeah, like, I'm glad they're doing this.
And something that me and Roderick was talking about in that car and something that they were doing and other games have been doing, they began to penny pitch consumers. Y'all was talking about that on Forza. It comes a time where people don't mind paying for things, but there is some shit that developers were actually given for free that now because of DLC and they know people are willing to pay for extra shit, they're charging you for things.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that's making consumers upset because it's like, you can't nickel and dime me out of every fucking upgrade.
Right. Freedom Cry DLC, this is from Mr. Span. With the Freedom Cry DLC coming to PlayStation as its own standalone game, do you think more... Wait, it is?
Yeah.
That's weird. How much is it going to cost? I wonder. Span, you know how much it costs, man? Put it in the chat. But do you think more publishers are going to start using this model to get customers who might otherwise not want to buy the full version of the game? Yes. It happened last year with Far Cry 3.
Yeah, the Blood Dragon.
Yeah.
Amazing, by the way.
Okay, mm-hmm. $15 to $20. Yeah, that sounds reasonable, man. I'm surprised more people don't do it already, you know, for a lot of these games, because I might not want to get, if you can put enough of a spin on it, I want to say somebody said forget the name of the game now, but there's this other game that, came out last year that was supposed to be like an expansion and ended up becoming a full game. And a lot of people liked it. It had something to do with Dunwall. I forget the name of it, but
it was like, something to do with what again?
Dunwall, Dunwall, not DayZ. This was a game where you kill people and shit, and there's supposed to be a lot of different ways to beat it. One way you could even just run straight through the map without killing anybody, but.
Oh, Dishonored?
Dishonored, yeah. That was supposed to be like, someone said like, I think maybe Bioshock or something.
Actually, yeah, I recently got that and I started playing it, I traded it in. It's almost like Bioshock Lite.
Right.
But I don't know, it just wasn't, it wasn't keeping my attention with everything else I had, so.
Right, but you know, just the idea of, well, why don't we just make it its own game instead of adding these elements to something we yeah, already have?
It, it is kind of neat though, cause like, when I did like the first few missions, you can literally go about, like, you can go through it without getting seen, or you can just go through just guns blazing. And I mean, it does have those elements and those elements are cool, but I think overall the story just wasn't like getting me in it to want to keep playing it enough, so.
Understood. And last question, Ashley Classy just says, I came in late. Did y'all know they have adapted the Flappy Bird app for mobile browsers? So now you can play right from the phone browser. And he put like a link in there. I don't need this crack in my life. So I'm not going to click on it. But, yeah, not surprised, man. Someone will always find a way.
Downloaded it or played it.
Yeah. Money will always find a way, bro. So no surprise.
I'm downloading it just so if I need to sell my computer because they get rid of it.
Make that no money. Doubt.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of The Nerd Off. Make sure you check out Chris and Kev on movietrailerreviews.net.
Like us on Facebook.
Like them on Facebook. Read their RoboCop reviews. Leave them 5-star reviews on iTunes. Don't be a dick and ask why they don't do spoiled movie reviews anymore. Cause we do spoiled movie reviews. You asshole.
Yeah, leave us a 5-star review. I'm actually starting with like our next set of reviews. I'm gonna start picking like one or two random 5-star reviews and just read them at the beginning of any review. Okay. And just like, and that's how we're gonna start off all of our movie reviews now. Just reading a random 5-star review. So if you leave us a 5-star review, no matter what it says, it's gonna get read at the beginning of our review.
That's dope, man. So yeah, y'all check them out. We'll be back next time on The Nerd Off. Peace out.